Welcome back to Of Steam, Steel, and Murder. I apologize for the lateness of this episode. This is the second and last part to episode 13. Our players were Abel, Ben, Jameis, and John. If you are enjoying these actual play recordings, we would like to hear from you. Leave us comments at steamsteelmurder@gmail.com, or feel free to leave feedback on iTunes. But now, let's get back into the story. This is Session 13, Part 2. Ah, well, Rena could join us shortly. So you guys were headed to the docks.
Yep.
Check on Mr. White and his boys.
Can I assume that one of you is filling me in on at least some of the details of Mr. White?
I don't think he knows me the details of Mr. White.
I think I've met him once, but Gavin is the one who really knows him.
In the very basics of with a contact with him, I'm not going to go into any details, really not.
Yeah, it's just
he wouldn't go talking into.
Yeah, it's just to avoid him and standing there in the corner and going, "What's going on again?"
So you're supposed to ask after everything's involved. That's what I do.
Okay, in which case, seeing as we're driving there, I'm bombarding you with questions on the way down there.
Are we there yet?
Now you do get down to the docks, and you see a couple of Mr. White's boys that are working. Mr. White's off today, but they recognize you and are very helpful. They've been told to be helpful to you, Gavin. So they're able to actually point out where the car collided on the docks. There's actually some construction going on because the collision did split the pylon, so they're having it removed and a new one sunk, and it's a pretty involved process.
Were they here when the accident happened?
They ask around a bit, and they find some people that were here. And, you know, they give their side of it. There's this guy is careening down the streets. He's, you know, weaving back and forward. It didn't look like he had control of the car, but it didn't look like he could stop the car. And saw him just pile right into the pylon. Looked like he was, like,
they
aiming.
Catch anybody?
He didn't hit anybody. He sideswiped a couple of businesses, knocked some trash cans over, did some damage to some crates around the wharf. One of the guys says he thinks the guy was trying to aim for the dock, like he was trying to get the car to drive off into the water.
Hmm. Was he...
Makes perfect sense.
Still alive after going through the windscreen? Isn't injured but fading out, or was he dead as soon as he...
This is the guys that were there said, nah, he pretty much got, you know, just shredded up like cheese going through a grater, going through that window.
What the hell kind of windows does this guy have?
Well, they certainly don't have safety glass. So.
Oh, if they don't have safety glass, then that guy was, he was graded.
Did you recognize him at all?
The guys that were there, there's two younger dock workers that were there. It's like, yeah, wasn't a lot left to recognize. He shredded up pretty bad. Points over to his friend here. Roger here is the one that made the call to the police. You know, we just kind of tried to keep everybody back. Car was on fire when it hit that pylon, too.
Really?
Well, after it hit the pylon.
The key distinction. Anybody tamper with the car after it hit the pylon?
All right. Everybody give me empathy rolls here on this one.
Please don't give me a negative again.
Get a 6, but I don't think it's what I'm reading.
I've got a 4, but that's it. Bunch of guys right. Hate okay. me.
Okay, well, everyone got a positive roll out of all that, right? No one got a negative?
Well,
I got a 0, but I'm thinking about spending an aspect.
It's, anyone who got a non-0, it's pretty obvious to you. The one guy whose apparently name is Roger got the kind of shifty dog eyes when you asked, was anything tampered with? The other guy, John, just says, no, Roger here checked on the guy to see if he was alive and went out to call the police while I watched the scene. And Roger's like, I didn't touch anything.
Can I take Roger over to one side? Companion.
I'm just staring at Roger. Dear Roger. That's everything, just dear Roger.
What do you want to say to him? So Gavin's staring daggers at him.
Yeah. No, so I just want to lead him out of the limelight so he doesn't feel quite as uncomfortable first.
David's eyes track him like lasers.
Well, like staring like, I know what you did. You need to help. I don't need to say anything.
You're setting up the whole good cop, bad cop routine.
Well, I have got plenty of aspects I need to get around to using.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you separate him slightly from the crowd. Gavin's still staring at him, though.
I sort of give a rude gesture to Gavin to try and get him to look the other way. That's Roger, right?
Yeah.
So, you...
Hello?
Huh, yep.
Oh, hello?
Join in on the interrogation. You are at the docks.
Very sorry about that.
Oh, damn, if only it had been about 5 seconds earlier, you'd be better at this.
Alright, so what do you say to him?
Okay. So, I take it you're the one who had a look over the, victim, the corpses.
Yeah, the guy just went right through the window, got shredded up real bad.
Seen anything like that before?
He kind of gives you the shifty dog eyes again. No, I've never seen that happen to a man before.
Yeah, I know how it is. I understand. I mean, a person like that, you're a little shocked. I mean, when you're going over things, you just don't think quite right. You never know. Things get misplaced. So I was wondering if you might have found something, in your pockets later on, and you just don't remember where you got it.
All right, let's see.
Yeah, I'm very bad at this.
What I'm going to do, since you're kind of being the friendly guy here and just asking him nicely, I want you to make a rapport roll, and this is where we can do an additive here. Since Gavin's like staring daggers at him, Gavin, if you want to give me an intimidation roll to.
All right.
Help your companion.
Think, two.
Two, okay, that's so you'll get a plus one to your roll with your...
Yeah, can I also tap my aspect, which is kind and careful?
You want to wait till you roll, because you can tap your aspects afterwards.
Yeah,
you don't want to blow them unless you have to. Okay, you got a two, so it'll be a three. And do you want to go ahead and tap that? Because what you're doing now is you're doing basically mental combat with the guy. You need four to actually break a person that's a non-important NPC.
So I'm tapping kind and careful to get plus two, so I'm using a very gentle manner with him.
All right. He doesn't... So yeah, you between you guys, you manage to break him, and he doesn't say a word. He just reaches into his overcoat and hands you a wallet and just kind of looks down at his feet.
Cherry to bomb him?
It's a nice wallet. He just kind of mumbles out as he's staring at his feet.
I give him a pat on the shoulder and a great thanks, Roger. You've been very helpful. We know that these situations can be very stressful for people.
Yeah,
he's had a wallet on him for a month.
He said he had 20 notes on him. Can I keep that?
Go ahead. I can't see the harm in it. What 20 notes?
Yeah, the wallet is quite nice. It's tooled.
The German guy, I just dismissively look away.
The wallet is quite nice. It's tooled leather. For whatever reason, we actually did hang on to the licenses that were inside the wallet.
That's it. I head back to the...
It says plot relevant.
So, I'm just going to point out the facts. A little under the table kind of way that got the wallet, can stop thinking about that if you can.
Anything in there that looks out of place?
You got basically his Metapol ID, which is basically also your passport. It is Mick Bradley. He has been in Metapol for quite a while. The last stamp that he has was over 3 years ago. Where he came in from France. His picture that's in there, he doesn't look French, but that was the last place his passport was stamped from. He also has a business card. The front of it has been, it's worn so that you really can't make out, it's a calling card, but it's worn enough where you can't make out the name, just a few letters. But there is on the back kind of written out, in pen, a dollar amount at a time.
Mm-hmm.
No day.
What's the amount and what's the time?
The amount is 200. And there's no AM or PM by the time, but if you assume AM, it would have been an hour before the guy wrecked if it were on the same day.
How much money is that?
$200, which is a fair amount.
Of course, the, yeah. So we want to ask around if people hear about SWIFTFs and any fights going on, and if they saw Mick or Tony around here before their demise.
The guys that you've been talking to there, no. They'd never seen the guy before. Roger says, yeah, I took his wallet, but I didn't know who he was.
Mm. There's a lot of fighting going on, some bare-knuckle matches around here.
Yeah, it's, maybe a while off of time, and we get a lot of tougher guys here that need to make a little extra scratch so they can get back to their own countries or to catch a better steamer out of here. So, yeah, it's something we do on the weekends. A little bit of betting goes on, not a lot, because people can't afford a lot down here.
Did Tony Sullivan ever come to these fights?
Tony? One of the guys who apparently is a boxing fan is like, Tony got to start doing bare knuckle fights, but he's been making actual prize fights here lately. I don't recall him ever coming down to the docks to fight.
Just Tony, a good fighter?
Tony's one of the best.
Would you say it would be very hard to take him out in an even fight?
Tony, guy, that guy was a spitfire. He would have made championships no problem in a few years. His old man, he owns that gym out in District 7, heard of Sully's place. His old man used to be a bare-knuckle champion, too, in his time. I believe his dad used to come out here, just every now and then, give the boys some pointers, prove that he still had the fighting spirit.
Any thoughts about this big fight which is going on in a few days?
Oh, at the gardens, a couple of the guys take off their hats and wipe away a fake tear from their eyes, saying, oh, if only we could make those seats. It's so expensive. I'd love to see that fight, though. He starts a quick argument going around about as to who they think is going to win. It's like, it's the gentleman all the way. Are you kidding? Another guy's going to pound him into a greasy spot on the pavement. Oh, I've got 50 sandy dozen. So, it starts going on in the background.
Has there been any word of anyone trying to come up against Sullivan himself? Has he been in any trouble that you're aware of? Have you heard anything about?
Tony or his pa?
Pa. I don't know what his first name is.
No, his pa's pretty well liked around here. He's owned that gym for a good amount of time. He's able to send Tony to some schools. Got him his stake in his first game, Was able to put up the money for his first win. Managed him for a little while.
Does the pa have any particular competition?
No, he's been retired for a while. As far as the gym, there's another gym in Metapol, upscale place out in District 2.
Yeah, Winchester's, yeah. But no one's trying to muscle in on pa himself?
Somebody can kind of confer amongst each other. No, not that any of us have heard.
Yes. Working out ideas.
And one of them says, hey, I hear he's taking on some new business down there, though. And a couple of the guys confer with each other. Yeah, that's right. He just added a new basement level to his gym. They got some kind of metal men. It's kind of the new rage going on. And there's some debate about it. Basically what you get is that here recently, with a lot of prize fights and the more publicized fights, one of the entertainment shows that goes on before the fights is they've got steam powered like robots that will kind of go at it.
And it's I grabbed Gina's arm so she doesn't rush off.
And this apparently has become a big fad outside of Metapol and has recently come to Metapol. It's got a lot of backing because they're not real men, going at each other, so there's not a chance of battery or death or anything like that. And it's more exciting because, of course, the metal things are able to fight longer, and you get to see them busting off pieces of each other.
Really fascinating.
Rock 'em, sock 'em, robot the same.
Mm-hmm.
grabs a notepad and starts writing down a few thoughts on the matter.
Apparently, the adventurers get really behind it too. It's the person who can not only design the toughest robot, but the one that can design the smartest one as well.
So they're all run by engine.
Yeah. Oh, well, some of them are. The early ones were all cog driven, and you know they could basically just move forward and swing their arms around. But here lately, they've gotten all kind of inventiveness going on with them.
It's like a Drina shaped puff of dust.
There's only so much I could do.
No, I can't abandon. I'll abandon early.
So shall we head up there?
Well, I was just about to say, it's in the dock itself. After the car crashed at the dock, the car went on fire. The dock was it's just being replaced in the middle of construction, replacing it right now.
Oh, and
very slow construction.
And everyone who's kind of just walking around the area and looking, since, I mean, you're there, and he took you to where the pylon was cracked. Just give me just a alertness roll, just general roll there. I just want to see how people do.
Yeah, positive, but that's about as far as I'm going to go.
Another plus one, and that's it.
Okay, I mean, so, you know, it's been a while, so things have been cleaned up, of course. I'm sorry, what'd you get?
Two.
John, that's you, okay. Things have been cleaned up, of course, but you can definitely see where the guy was trying to break. I mean, because there are big streaks of tire rubber that are still ingrained on some of the decking and some of the cobble street. So the guy was trying to stop the car. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
So he was definitely conscious.
Yes.
And with the two, it even
well,
looks
and
like
also. I don't know if you were here for it, but they said it looked like he was trying to steer it into the water.
That makes sense, actually.
And with the two, you're able to find that it looks like he was purposely ramming his car into things that, you know, would maybe kind of slow down his acceleration, something that wouldn't automatically just stop the car and crush it, but kind of slow it down. He ran into... He like would swerve to hit where garbage cans were and some things in the road. It looks like he was trying to slow down his momentum.
Very in keeping with what you said that device would do, Miss Airbauer?
Yeah, I mean, if he wasn't able to slow down, and obviously he was conscious, he was thinking quick and just trying to find any way he could to slow himself down. I mean, getting into water probably would have saved his life. If he was conscious, he could, with the car in the water...
How much electricity was going through at the time, really?
No, I'm fine. I doubt it. And I doubt that would have killed him. Usually, I mean, the...
I don't know, that's an interesting experiment. What does a Tesla car do when you push it into the water? I didn't think imagine. You could get it to explode, but I've been proven that's wrong.
I'm making another note in my notebook about whether or not to experiment on that.
I'm guessing the water would either dissipate or interfere with the signal, which means your power plant would just quickly lose momentum.
The submarines must... Well, what are submarine power plant?
They probably have diesel-electric engines.
Yep. Yeah, outside of medical and in
fire use, outside the city, but regardless.
Yeah, there's actually diesel engines and steam-powered engines are the most prevalent. I mean, outside of medical and in other countries, you don't see too much in the way of electrical generation. I mean, this is pretty unique here in medical.
I wonder if parts of it can be turned off to not broadcast to certain districts. Out of curiosity, not relevant right this minute, I just wonder.
I'm completely at sea here, having never...
So, where to next?
I think if we don't go to Sully, Dream is going to beat us up.
Well, it's either Sully's or the place of residence. I can't think of anywhere else to go.
Once we're back in
and
the
I
castle,
think,
are we now suspecting
I think,
that maybe you're playing on something with Sully?
I think that if we don't go to Sully's, I think you're right. I think Drina will.
I think
will go there without us regardless.
Oh, no, I'm not going
to do that. I think we've finally found who would have managed to build the clever contraption in the car. They have people skilled enough to build fighting robot engines.
True.
Small device.
That's true. What if I were to build a fighting robot and then enter it into the competition?
Did anyone not see that coming? Anyone?
No, I see this coming, however. However, we have all of 2 for you to get this robot ready. I don't think even you can get a full and the chassis.
I'll probably make sure nothing's happening to him and he's not a criminal first before we go involving ourselves in his enterprise.
Besides, then you get to look at the competition.
Okay, so you want to go to Sully's then?
It would seem the most obvious choice at the moment, yes.
Okay.
Alright, Sully's is, the whole place is a gymnasium. The outside placard just says Sully's. It has 2 large windows in the front, but they've been all painted black from the inside, so you can't see in. The door itself has a small pane of window with the wooden lattice on it. Door is open. It's got an open sign turned so that it's open on the front door. It looks like it's got at least 1 level below street level as well.
Mm-hmm. Just as we go and look around, see if anyone's in a black trench coat watching the place or something like that.
All right, so you're going to check the outside of the building first?
Yeah, just quickly. If
you're rolling, I'm not seeing it there.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to roll or not.
Oh, yeah, just give me an alertness roll just to see if anything.
Yep, 3.
Are you good enough? The only thing that seems even somewhat unusual is that there is a big truck that's kind of backed up towards the back of Sully's, ramps down, the back of it's open, there's nothing in it, and the car's, there's no driver, the car's turned off. Looks like Sully's has at the back end of the establishment, he's got like a big warehouse door thing. It's rolled down currently and closed.
What the hell, since I'm in the area, just sort of sneak up, have a look around, see if there's any details as to what there is.
It's unmarked. There's no name on the side of the cab at all for like any particular company. You know, touch the hood, it's still warm. It's been recently turned off. Marks on the
clipboard
pavement.
Clipboard inside the front cab or anything?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Clipboard inside the front cab?
No.
Okay, oh well. I'm not going to break in or anything.
Yeah. around the front, the first level of Sully's is, it's got like a desk here where there's nobody manning it. There's a Victrola playing in the background, some modern jazzy type of music going on. The top floor seems to be people that are doing the stretching and calisthenics. They've got a couple of, you've got that old style machine where you put the belt around your back and middle and it just kind of shakes and vibrates supposedly to, remove belly fat. A couple of people are jogging in place and you've got some people there that are, giving instruction. As opposed to the place that you were just in, this one's got a very different atmosphere. I mean, everyone here is dressed in, workout gear. They've got cutoff pants. They're here for some, for serious work. There is no bar with drinks being, set out. They do have a water cooler, right here. And, but the whole place is just, they haven't done anything to nice the place up. You still have peeling paint on the walls. The one thing that does stand out is you've got a picture of who's probably Tony Sullivan on one of the walls. It's a painting of him probably not too long ago. And there's like a funerary wreath below it, as well as a few freshly cut flowers in a vase. And there is a set of stairs going down from here as well. And in this case, you do see, there is a men's and a women's side of the room that have locker rooms, and stick your head in there, you do see, shower facilities.
So they actually work out here.
No one's paying particular attention to you. They're just going about their workouts pretty well.
Is there any certificates or anything up by I'm particularly looking for Pa Sullivan's signature.
Sure, why not? They have a business license that's on display.
And does the handwriting match what's on the back of the card?
Difficult, since it's only got numbers. There's no letters. It's just, you know, it had a dollar value and a time. And yep. All you're looking at for comparison is a signature, so definitely hard to tell.
Okay. You can tell what I'm thinking, though.
Mm-hmm. I think I can.
Eventually, one of the guys kind of wanders up to you, and he's got a towel over his neck. He's wiping his face off, and he says, "Hey, can I help you?"
Yeah, who would you be, sir?
Marcus. I run this joint occasionally.
Curious, have you ever heard of this guy? I heard things from someone a little while back, Mick Bradley. Is he fighting around here?
Wipes his face off. Yes. Horrible tragedies. One of the up-and-comings. He sparred downstairs in the boxing ring quite often. He was in here every day.
Oh, well. Oh, geez, I'm sorry to hear that. Did you know the guy?
Oh, I knew him really well. I'd hold the heavy bag for him once in a while. Guy was a contender, I tell you. Had a mean left hook. Who are you that you're asking these questions?
We were just looking around the premises. Me personally, I was interested in maybe becoming a member here.
Oh, yeah? Dues are $5 a month.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah. Oh, also, I heard the old guy had gotten a new idea for a draw for some spectators. What's it called? He got those metal men.
Oh, the metal men, yeah. Sully got the bright idea to put in a new concrete basement down there so they can test those robots. And they pay him a little bit more for the operating space. Sully himself, he's not that kind of bright, you know. He's bright in other ways, but anyway, he just figures it's yet one more thing he can use to get some money out of this old building. Sully's right down there. You want to take a look? I think there's somebody testing out one of them bots now.
Oh, really? I run to the basement door.
It's not a door. It's actually just it's a wide, like a three or four people could stand, you know, side by side and just go down the stairs. So it's just this wide stairwell down to the next level. And you got two sets of boxing rings down here, as well as your heavy bags. There are a lot of people working out right now. And you can hear down another set of stairs in the very back, there's this sound of just like almost like pneumatic clanging, like something metallic, just continually pounding on the cement or brick. Currently, both boxing rings have people in them sparring with each other. It's a good, like, two, maybe three dozen people just about working out or hanging around the rings. That weasel face guy you saw at the other place is here as well. And he's checking out both rings, taking down notes. There's a guy in the middle of one of the rings now. He's chomping on a cigar. So he's an older guy. He's probably in his late, middle to late 60s. And he's chewing out one of the boxers while he's kind of, gesturing at him with a lit cigar in his finger, getting really close to burning the kid.
Is it possible to notice any family resemblance to our late boxing?
Oh, yeah. There's a strong resemblance. Jawline, face looks very similar. This is an older version, maybe. And you do actually hear people saying, "Oh, Sully, yeah, my left hook's just fine. Fine! My old wife threw a stronger left hook than that." As he jabs a cigar at the kid.
You can see why they discontinued Mark One.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Let's see. So what you're saying, there are no robots around right now then?
Oh, actually, you like I said, you hear this kind of metallic pounding coming down. There's apparently another level. You can see another set of stairs towards the back going down. But this room doesn't have any metal men in it.
I see. Right, so let's coordinate for a second here. What do we want to ask Mr. Sullivan here?
Sully kind of notices you guys entering, and he slips out of the ring, sticks a cigar back between his clenched teeth, pulls on a cap, walks on over to you guys. Ah, new members! I haven't seen you here before! Just sticks out his hands. Yeah, we've got group rates! Oh, yeah, you all work for the same company?
Yes, kinda. Yes, we work together on many jobs.
Yeah, he shakes each of your hands and he does kind of the grip test with you. It's like, yeah, I can definitely help you folks out. Looks like you all need a stronger grip there. And just kind of pats your, little pasty triceps. It's like, yeah, strengthen these arms up. And he gets to Miss Airbauer. It's like, oh, there's a firm handshake.
I noticed that. Well, I admit that you probably did this kind of novelty, but I understand you have some metal robots matches that you set up every once in a while.
You one of those crazy inventor types? Yeah, I just opened it up. Got a whole new concrete basement down there. You can test out your gear. You got a contender you put together in your basement. Bring them on out.
I will. Oh, yeah.
How many teams do you have interested in such a novelty?
Ah, we got two of these egghead types out, come out every now and then. They've yet to get together at the same time and have their bots go head to head. They seem to be pretty secretive of how their creations work. I got a guy down there now who reaches into his back pocket and pulls out like a notebook. It's kind of crumpled up and sweat stained. It's like, Conley, George Conley. He's got that bot. What's it named? I got it written here somewhere. Sure, so
can do it. I kind of sort of look over his shoulder, coming at the page he's looking at.
He calls it the Iron Marshal. It's actually just some notes that are jotted down in his notebook.
Yeah, any numbers?
Yes.
Anything?
All right. give me a scholarship roll there so you can see if they're anything similar to what's on the back of that card.
What am I adding?
Scholarship.
Oh, 5.
5? Okay, very good. You can tell, one, he's left-handed, so his numbers slant in the opposite direction.
It might have just been Mick who wrote the numbers after being told it, but just checking. Or anyone else who have written the numbers, who knows?
Now, because I had to put in this new facility, our fees are a little bit different if you're interested. And he puts a kind of a fatherly arm over Adrena's shoulder there and starts, heading you down towards the back stairs. But let me show it to you. I charge 20 a month, but for that, you get a lot of good deal.
Sure, I go along.
All right. Short set of stairs. It looks like he's taking, he's got the poor man's approach to a little bit of soundproofing up now. He's got like thick carpeting that are just kind of tacked up onto the wall so it doesn't echo so badly into the rest of the gym. And you've got a concrete floor down here that's kind of marked off into, 10-foot by 10-foot segments. And he's got some kind of concrete poured pylon set up. And right now there is this, it looks like it was modified from one of the policeman's metal suits. And there's an operator doing a little bit of fiddling behind it as the robot is just kind of pounding at one of these concrete pylons. But yeah, we provide those pylons. You can test out the power of your robot. We'll do all the cleaning up for you, give you a place to store your bits if you need. Hey, George, come on out here. I got a little lady that's interested in the same sport. And George kind of looks up from the back of his contraption, waves his hand, and says, yeah, give me a minute. I'm working here.
So there's only George and his robot?
Yeah, that's all you see down here right now.
What does his robot look like?
It's got a large torso. The arm, it looks actually vaguely gorilla-ish. It's got very short, stubby legs and very wide feet, you figure, for balance. The arms are longer in proportion. The fists are... They're really just exaggerated... globes, they're just kind of big brass globes that have a couple of indentations to make it look sort of like fingers, but it's got no way to grasp or hold. They're really just two rounded ends. It's made of iron, an iron shell on the outside that's got kind of like a gold painting on it, that's kind of flaked and rusted here and there. And he seems to be working out. You can kind of tell its right jab is kind of, it's not quite right. It kind of, the elbow of the machine flares out a little bit too much, and you can see it's losing, your engineering mind is telling you it's losing a little bit of torque there. It's not getting all the power it can. And he seems to be tweaking that down to get that a little bit better off. And eventually, he wipes his hands off, he gets some oil off his hand, and he comes up to meet you. He sticks a hand out to Yadrina. It's still covered with oil. He's wiped some of it off. Nice to meet you. Fellow connoisseur of the sport.
What might be going on with your robot there?
Yeah, darndest thing. You can give me a hand, I'd sure appreciate it. I can't get his elbow to stay in well enough.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Repair roll.
That's right. Help the competition.
There's a 5.
All right.
Well, I guess inside knowledge.
You figure one of his gears, if it had one less tooth, the timing would be better, and it would be able to work smoother than it is. So he's taking you over to the robot and showing you the inside of the gears. What are the rest of you guys doing? Sully's still kind of sitting here chomping on a cigar. It's like, you were a pit team?
Kind of. I point to the doctor's bag.
What's that for?
You never know what kind of...
They get out of hand and start hurting the audience? What?
You never know what kind of things with their mind that they're on.
He just kind of laughs. So are you guys good
at... So tell me, how long have you been in business here?
I was one of the first businesses to open up here in Metapol when the whole city was designed. Came over with my wife and son.
Have you been into boxing this entire time?
I've been in it all my life. Started in the old country, got a name for myself, started getting some prize money there, and I staked it all to come to Metapol and open up this business.
What do you think of the change to rules that they've had recently?
Well, I guess things change. I suppose it's safer for all the boxers, but in my time, there were a lot more of us that got hurt, but... I don't know. He kind of scratches his head. There's some things I agree with. It's certainly more sporting now, and get these here, they call technical boxers now. Not the strongest guys, not the best jabbers, but they got good minds behind those fists. They know how to use it.
I don't know about you, but it's bad for my business.
Why is that?
Not as many people get hurt.
Oh, yeah. Not as many people get killed, either.
That's true.
Of course, in my time... this here match has always lasted, but not quite as long, and I don't know. They still got a lot of convincing to do. A lot of the older boys don't like it. I think it's sissifying the sport, but I don't know. This gym's starting to bring in a lot of money over it. I do appreciate it for the business.
So your wife and kid, do they hang around your box?
My son Tony... died just last month. My wife had gone a year before. It's just me now. And well, heck, all the fighters that work out here, they're all my kids, I guess. But Tony was my flesh and blood.
Oh, really? What happened?
He got mugged, apparently. Had to have been a couple of folks. I don't see any mugger be able to take my Tony out by himself. It was a sight, I tell you. I had to have a closed casket funeral on that one.
It's a shame.
Yeah. So I got me 20 other boys here to carry on the Sullivan name, but not quite the same way, though.
What do you think of this big bout that's coming up?
Oh.
I heard in the rumors that somebody was going to be training here for that.
yeah. You're going to be one of those guys was my boy. He knew his parents back in the old country, and he spent some time in my gym the last time he was in Metapol. Good man. I tell you, and he puts his finger up to the side of his nose, taps it a few times. You're a betting man. That's who I'd put my money on. Now, you guys aren't pressed, are you? He kind of gets a suspicious look into his face now. Yeah, and Jackson doesn't care having press around, and, you know, he's supposed to be here, what do you call it, incognito, like. That could be right about him, are you?
Do I look like press? I'm Alexander Barba. You probably heard of me. Here's my card.
He glances at your card, hands it back. Never heard of you.
You're one of them high-priced fancy doctors.
We do all of our own stitching around here.
If you ever need a doctor, though, I'm the best in the city.
Ah, Mr. Humphrey might be a veterinarian, but he does fine by my boys. Sure, his rates are more. Sure, his rates are cheaper than yours too. As he kind of fingers the fine fabric of your coat
and the Corinthian leather doctor bag that I'm carrying, whatever fine leather. Do you want to switch to Jonathan since he snuck off?
Yep.
But yes.
So what is Jonathan doing upstairs?
The guard sneaks off and begins to try to work his way in with a few of the people who look like regular trainers, perhaps not the boxers, but just people who look like they spent a lot of time working out.
Sure. There are quite a few trainers here that are getting their boys ready. You get an idea that a lot of the trainers are like the father or an in-law of some sort, and they're doing the managing for their up and coming stars.
I'm going to be pretending to be looking for tips on things which could help with excavations and the rougher side of work.
One of them doesn't quite understand what you're asking and says, "Here, put these on." And, you know, he puts a couple of gloves in your hand, says, "Tie those on and get in the ring. My boy here, Robert, needs a sparring partner."
Oh, God.
"No, no, it's fine. He won't hit you that hard. Get in there."
Knew this was coming sooner or later.
I did. That's all it happened.
It's the best way to learn anyway. You want some tips? We'll teach you.
Numbly, he straps the gloves on a little haphazardly. One of them sort of upside down, and then he notices.
Yes, the guy comes out and corrects that.
Can I survey my opponent before he beats me to a pulp?
Robert's a short guy. He's probably 5'4", 5'5", and he seems to be just made of pure muscle and mean. He's got a kind of a snarl on his face. He's wearing bright green trunks. Hair is closely shaved to his head, and he's like, "Yeah, just try to move around a little. I'll not hurt you so bad." And it starts moving forward.
I'm going to make a show of taking off my jacket and putting my things like my sword on the side. If I can I try and use presence to make him feel like he's up against something more than it's...
Yeah, go right ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Roll for that. Okay, that's a plus +2 using presence.
All right. He kind of eyes you over. Eyes you over as you're taking off your gear, and he's sizing you up. Seems to your estimation in his eyes seems to have gone up a bit. He's a little bit more wary as he kind of closes in on you. He's giving you time to get everything off. He's like, "Right, we got new rules for this game. You understand them, right?"
Of course.
And he comes closer and he knocks his gloves up to yours. We'll do this nice and slow. You want some tips? We'll do this nice and slow. This here is a left jab. Sir's
coming at you. One, ow. Two, three.
You have, give me an athletics roll there.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Hooray! Oh, four.
Okay.
Oh, you got a minus two.
Yeah, actually, he really is. He's not coming at you full speed. He actually is kind of just going slow, you know, and he's telegraphing each punch. He's telling you what he's about to do, and you're doing a really good job of being, you know, moving so that he's providing a harder target. Are you trying to fight back or not? He's just kind of, you know, just kind of working his arms. He's not really trying to like hit you hard. When he does land a blow, it's just kind of a, you know, just a glove on flesh and doesn't really try to power it in.
Now I'm going to see if I can play this for endurance or just wear him down at the time.
Sure.
I don't think I managed to knock him out.
Yeah, you're actually doing really well. You know, he lays gloves on you a few times. He's very careful about pulling the punch back, and getting in a group together. He said, okay, now we're nice and warmed up. You ready to do this?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right. Give me a fighting roll there.
Oh,
same thing.
That would be amazing. What, wow. What the hell?
What's your total?
Okay, that's a 3. But then I
don't have oh, really good. That's actually that's pretty good. He ends up only getting a 2. So, you know, your first bell rings to get started, and you trade a few blows. You actually do manage to get a good, solid hit on his face, and bell rings, and you go back to your corners. The guy who was who's his trainer says, hey, that's a pretty good shot you have there. Next bell rings. Let's have another shot at it. Give me another fighting roll there.
Eye of the tiger.
Feet of clay.
Oh.
Yeah. What's your total? Hey, you're a little quiet there. Can you say it again?
I think it'd be really stretched if I use brain in the books to say that I know some good fighting stances because I've read something about how he's fighting.
Sure, you can use classical some books on it. Okay.
So, that would bring it up to a 0.
Or you can just or you can use it as a reroll if you want.
I'm going to go with the expert's opinion. What's better on this?
Do you have any skill of fighting at all, or are you going with base?
I have. On base, so.
Okay,
That be athletics, though, or is that what, that's what you said before, wasn't
well,
it?
Well, the before was just he was just presenting the target. He wasn't really trying to, you know, do anything. Now they're actually boxing, which is just a fighting versus fighting role.
Yeah.
Well, if you take a 0, he's gonna knock you out.
fine. Don't kill me, Fudge. Okay, that's a 1.
Ooh. Well, that's pretty good. How many physical boxes do you have?
I don't know. I'll have the basic. That's under endurance, right?
Right. You start off with 2 boxes. So, well, you have 3 boxes. Okay, yeah, that is actually enough to take you out.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, he gets a good swing in.
Just going through this. Have we got anything else?
Okay.
Dangerous discoveries? Found out a few things in my travels which other people didn't want to be found. So I've been in a few rough situations where I've had to get out of there with my hide intact.
Yeah, that's true. You can take a consequence to get knocked out. You take a minor one, and it will. You take a minor consequence, and that'll keep you from being knocked out. But you will have gotten your third box marked through. A minor consequence could be just something like, you're a little disoriented.
Ears are ringing.
Yeah, ears are ringing, something like that.
Minor concussion.
We'll go that far. Okay, yeah, concussion would be more major. Little lightheaded and losing my feet.
Okay, so you take a concession, so you're still up and about. He backs off a little bit after he lands that good solid blow, and he's waiting to make sure that you're okay before you continue.
Got a good arm there, I think.
Concede anytime you want to and just say, okay, I lose, or, I've had it, not get pounded on more, or you can keep going.
He's had enough of these muscle heads from when he was back being a boy, so his brother being a traditional aristocrat always in his sports and his fighting, so. He's going to try and keep on doing this for the nerdy side of things.
All right.
45 minutes was one record. Come on.
Okay. So then once it seems like you shake it off and you're coming in for more and he comes back at you, go ahead and give me a roll. Another fighting roll.
Okay. Time to get knocked out. 1.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm knocked out.
Yes. So down you go. But you did last a couple of rounds. They helped you up. He wasn't trying to really be malicious about it. So it's enough to kind of stun you for a little bit, and they help you out, pour some water over you. Both of them are pretty good natured about it. It's like, hey, you make a great sparring partner.
Thanks.
They do. You did. It was a good icebreaker though. So they do. Open up to you and start talking to you. Good way to do it. I am going to break with you for just a minute here, and we'll pop over. Drina, okay. He's done a real good job. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
So I haven't had a go, is it me yet?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I assume there's a picture down here to Tony as well.
Yes, there is. Same deal. It's got a funerary wreath and some fresh flowers and a vase.
I'm going to one of the training boxes. So I'm sort of not, because I'm able to talk, I'm not sort of busy doing too much other stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I have shame about what happened to his son.
And he's like, yeah, Tony was a regular fixture around here. He grew up in this gym.
Yeah, I hear a week later, Mick Bradley also had an accident.
Yeah, it's a bad month, that's for sure. Those are two of the best fighters this gym's ever put out.
Yeah, I hear they had a fight against each other not a while ago.
Yeah, it was one of those exhibition matches. You know, they got paid the same whether they won or lost. It still goes down on the record, but, you know, the purse was good for either one of them. Since they knew each other, there's no bad blood between them.
Were they evenly matched, or were they pretty much one-sided?
They're pretty evenly matched. You know, they fought each other before, and it's not clear-cut. Sometimes Tony comes out, sometimes Mick comes out.
What were they like?
Pretty good friends. Go down to the pubs a lot together. Good guys. Fighting was their life, you know. No wife or kids, still a little young for that yet, but they're trying to make their stake in the sport. Get a good career together from it.
Can no one hear me?
I can hear you.
Or
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Is it just Bert that went out?
Can you guys not hear me?
You can hear everyone. Can hear you.
All
right. And I just kind of went quiet for a minute there.
Yeah, you seem to cut out. I mean, looked at the Skype and your bio was lit up, so something like that. All
right. Well, yeah, he just says that, they were, you know, two young guys trying to make a career out of the sport.
Doing what they can, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Man, all my theories have been shut down.
I've got an alternate one, now, Gavin. What if they got taken out so that,
we can't be discussing like the
digital? Yeah, that's true.
Sorry for some idle chat about it. Have any other questions right this minute? And I'll just cut back to Drina.
All right. And Drina, so yeah, this guy's got a pretty good contraption going on here. It's got an engine in it. It seems to be pretty small, probably not very powerful at all. But it's enough for the robot to be able to track movement and to respond to it.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's pretty nice. How many fights has this guy been in?
The Iron Marshal here. This will be his 12th fight in a couple of days. He's done pretty well by me. Not bad for a hobby. He's almost paid for himself. Like another 10, 11 fights, and he might have paid for the medal put into him. Kind of laughs as he claps it on the side.
I hear you. You ever see any of the regular fighting, you know?
Eh, somewhat. It's, you know, I do this as a hobby. I'm a boat mechanic by trade. I'm not too much into fights, but I heard, you know, it gets around. You know, I like inventing things, and I've heard that this is new and upcoming. You know, there's even talk that this might replace the actual boxing, as they're still trying to work out the laws on that to decide whether or not it should be legal. Even with the new gloves, I hear there's still a problem with that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that the, you know, the middlemen will have a particular draw, and they'll have a distinct audience of their own. I don't think that they'll ever replace, you know, plain old boxing, which has been around since forever.
That's true, but, you know, all these new laws trying to, you know, humanize everything. I hear that there's case being made that, yeah, you still, even if it's by consent, you can't perform battery on another man and it be legal. At least that's the line the lawyers are trying to work with. But, machines like old Iron Marshal here, no, that's a different story. Claps it on his side.
No, that's true. I mean, there definitely is a lot less. There's a lot less to worry about legally, you know. And even if boxing were outright legal, and clear, you know, if you're using some kind of robot or equipment instead to fight, you know, it's just a lot less worried about all sorts of stuff, injuries and everything. So, you say you never catch any of the regular boxing matches?
Every now and then, you know, the Iron Marshal here and me, we usually are the prelude to those events, so we don't usually stick around. I'm not much of a betting man, you know, and I think most of these people that go to these matches are just in it for money, you know, betting for one side or the other. No, I invest in other things. Yeah, we're going to have quite a fight in a few days here. Iron Marshal is going up against Steam Jack Willie. He's got 20 fights under his metal carapace.
Fair enough. And you, did you ever, talk to the kid who, the son of the guy who owns this place, Tony? Tony?
Yeah, Tony was really fascinated in this stuff. He'd come down all the time. There's another guy that comes here with his bot every once in a while. He's the one who, owns Steam Jack, goes by the name, P. Beckett. Not sure what the P stands for. Tony spent some time down here with him and a few times with me. He's really interested in it. You know, I heard that the kid was actually trying to get into schooling, trying to make an engineer out of himself, and that the boxing was just a way to make some money to get there.
Oh, really? Interesting. And so besides you and Beckett, are there any other, you know, bot owners?
Beckett's the only one I know about, and he's, I'm pretty free about showing the old Iron Marshal here to anyone who's interested. You know, I just do this as a hobby. Like I said, I'm not a betting man. I don't even bet on myself for these things. I just do it for, you know, the exhibition purse, that's all. Beckett's, more of a, I don't know, I think he's trying to make something out of this. His bot's been in a lot of fights. He's won some pretty good purses. He's a lot more secretive about how his works. I think him and Tony had something of a relationship, though. Tony was down here a lot, helping him fiddle around with his bot.
Gotcha. So, wait, you're saying Tony was fiddling around with Beckett's robot?
Yeah. And Beckett was, kind of taking him under his wing, teaching him some basic engineering principles. I don't think he ever let Tony, get the complete scoop on how his bot worked, but they seemed pretty friendly.
Well, fair enough. Okay. No problem, I guess. I mean, that's all I have for Connolly. You know, I pretty much finish up and rejoin everyone.
Everybody's in a different location at this point.
The place is huge. You can poke around and find each other easily enough.
And I offer a small prayer that she does not venture upstairs and see the wreck of the former aristocrat.
They get you cleaned up. You're probably going to have a shiner in one of those eyes by morning. But while you're here chatting with these guys after your match, John, did you want to ask them anything specific? Because they seem to have kind of taken a liking to you.
Yeah, I'm mostly going to be asking more questions about just the general feel about how everyone got on with each other. So I want to see if we can ask some questions about whether or not Bradley and the other guy got on very well.
Oh, yeah. Tony and Mick were pretty good friends.
Sullivan, thank you. Can't read my own handwriting.
Yeah, they were the best of friends. Mick was a little bit older, but, not more than a couple years. So they were of age, and they'd hang out a lot together. Mick there was really aiming to make this a profession. Tony was good. He's a natural, but it wasn't so much in his blood. Tony had some better things in mind for his life.
Yeah, I heard that this place trained up a champion. You know, one of the ones that's coming over for the big fight.
Oh, yeah. They call him the Black Prince. Mr. Jackson, he was here maybe 5 years ago, spent a couple of years here training with the Elder Sullivan.
Did he ever get on with Tony?
You know, at the time, Tony wasn't here all that often. He was finishing up school and coming in. I don't know that they ever met, actually. I mean, I'm sure they have. Mr. Sullivan had to have Jackson over for dinner once or twice.
Mostly I don't have any other questions, so it's just making sure that there's no sort of feelings of animosity among the group about any of
the idea that this
situation.
This gym is pretty close. Like, everyone that's here is they either live in the neighborhood or are pretty serious about the sport, and they get along. I mean, you know, tempers flare occasionally, but at the end of the day, everybody's pretty chummy around here. You do catch that there was a few months back, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, Sully got pretty mad at that Winchester guy that owns the other gym. Winchester tried to buy Sully out, and Sully basically just went off the handle, so the place wasn't for sale at any price.
Really? Yeah, I met that Winchester man when I was looking for a good place to train up, and seemed like
you don't want to train there.
Enthusiast.
I mean, the guy's got a fancy location and all, but that's not a gym. The guy doesn't even got good windows in the place. I mean, get a good workout going in there, you're bound to fall over from heat exhaustion.
Well, I've got nothing else to think about.
I'm going to say at this point, you guys are able to all kind of rejoin each other.
Yeah.
Can I trouble the good doctor for an ice pack?
He's got the beginnings of a black eye going on there.
Not to mention,
I'll him a little bit. Hey, look, I've got some of that powder left over. You can have it if you want. Make you feel nothing.
I think I've read books on that stuff.
Okay, so I don't get the sense from everybody here and from what you guys have told me that anybody here is really seeming to be angry at anybody else, or this is the kind of place where everybody wants everybody else to succeed.
It's a bit. I mean, it just seems like all the competition here is pretty friendly. Or at least, you know, certainly not homicidal.
Except against Winchester's, possibly.
Well, my question is not so much thinking about it from here, because I had a problem as soon as we found out that Tim or Tony was from here, was the head's boss. The only thing I could think that would happen from here is if somebody took him out, then they would get taken out themselves. There's the possibility now that the other gym may be trying to make this gym look bad. And the only way to do that is
one more line of questioning I want to follow, but I can't till tomorrow morning.
You want to go to one of the fights, the bare knuckle fights?
Well, no, the bare knuckle fight has come to Winchester in the morning, and I want to have a discussion with him and see. Unfortunately, I don't know how to phrase it because I want to really know if one of them got contracted to go and put the beat down on Tony.
Yeah,
but I'm wondering, how would you say that without getting the beat down put on you?
Well, there's two things. There's one thing that concerns me. One is that they replaced the first bout with somebody from Winchester's gym.
Well,
the question is that just out. Well,
if
yes.
If someone did get contracted, we can find out who contracted them, and there would be more evidence as to who's behind this.
If you guys just wanted to ask around with that, you find out that is indeed true. Tony and Mick were going to be the headline. They were going to be an exhibition match for this thing that's coming up in a few days.
Now, if Stuart had told us way back earlier, it may have helped us a bit more.
You see, I'm just going to say this was as you were asking around about it, since Ben there had kind of had this idea as well. It had not been officially announced because, you know, no paperwork or anything had been signed. So the guys around the gym here kind of knew, but you know, it's never been advertised anywhere.
Well, Bert, you kind of alluded to that in the doc as well.
Yep.
That's where I kind of got that impression. Now, my question is, why is it, if it was Winchester that did it, why is it important to Winchester to have that first before the expedition goes off?
Hello, Winchester Gym is the place to go to get your exhibition prize fighters.
Yes. But there could also be a second part to that, Gavin. They could be setting something up in the arena so that the big bout that goes off that actually has a member from Winchester and a member from this gym make it so that the member from this gym is going to lose.
Excellent. It does seem like good motivation, but we need evidence.
And what's this evidence you talk of?
The person who, well, whoever put the beat down on Tony, funny, them would be good, and whoever made that device would be good.
Well, we can't go to talk to them until tomorrow.
No.
I suggest that there are two things that we can still look at today. One, we can ask his father, and I don't know how to do this subtly, but we can try to ask his father if he usually jogged in the same location so we can find out if it was just happenstance that he was in that area or not.
Well, he's right beside where he lived. The alleyway beside where he lived. So,
was he right beside where he lived? I missed that.
Yeah.
Did he always jog late at night like that? And we can possibly even go to his apartment and see if he received a note or something that said, "Hey, meet me out by here."
That's a point. Is this apartment still there? It's been a month. Has it been rented out?
I don't know. We haven't done any research into that.
Yep.
Is it possible to rule out whether or not that Tony and Mick were just experimenting with the engineering and that the car might have been an accident between them? I know that it sounds far-fetched given what we know, but it'd be good to rule that out.
Why? That doesn't explain Tony, though.
Well, Tony was the one studying electronics, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
So,
but he died before the other guy.
If it turns out that a robot beat Tony up, I'm going to hit someone myself.
I had this outlandish idea that Tony is one of those exoskeleton suits fighting one of those robots by himself.
I got seen from the Matrix in my head.
So where's the next step? Where are we going from here?
No idea.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that this guy, Beckett and Tony, had some kind of relationship. I just don't know what kind exactly.
And my suspicion, though, Gavin, is we won't find out who beat up Tony, because my suspicion is it's those brothers that beat up Tony. And I don't know how
they've been in the country that long?
The brothers that were at the other gym?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they have.
Okay, I mean,
I don't know.
Not to say they couldn't have done it, I just don't understand what their... I mean, you know, they wouldn't have had a personal motive. Somebody might have told them to do it, but...
Why not? If they killed those two, they become the prize fighters. They get the prize money.
And they're the ones who do the opening bout. As a matter of prestige, that would be...
Well...
Yeah, they have some motive, yeah.
Did you get a read on them enough to say that they were the sort of people who'd be able to do that?
Well, we did know that that they were used to not fighting with the gloves, which means that they...
So was every boxer.
Oh, yeah.
We know that they did the prize fighting around the docks before now. We should have asked about that. But on another note, I guess you got the fact that they've done a lot of traveling before now. This is the first time they've had to settle down. So... They would be pretty desperate to try and stake out the claim for the place.
What we could do is investigate Winchester and see what his deal is, see what records we have on him, see if he's been involved in any shady dealings in the past that we have any documentation on.
Okay, fair enough.
That would probably be, maybe police station might be the best place we go. We can go and talk to people about him.
If he was in any shady dealings, we'd get indication here. I'm sure they probably know all of the kind of shady crap he's involved in here. Although it will be a slanted, slanted view. But you usually hear the worst of the worst from the slanted view, and then you just gotta determine what's true.
There is, we could split up and meet up again in the morning to go various resources, check out his path. I'd like to go to the police station to look into some things there.
Aldrich seems to have a good rapport with the other people here. Maybe he can be in some additional fights.
If you happen to be if you wish to pay my for my medical bills or provide my medical service, then I would be happy to do so.
Miss Eva, perhaps you'd be able to know people who know who this Pete Beckett is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the main lead I can follow up on, so.
So it sounds like you guys are going to break up then and check individual things?
Yep. At least that's my intention. Well, I think that would be the best thing to do at the moment. Everyone from going together.
What does the doctor want to do?
I don't know what I need to do. I don't have anything particularly I can look
perhaps
into.
Perhaps you could ask, since you're more...
I will.
Perhaps you could go talk to the more upper class, if I put it that way. People who live around 1 and 2 and whatnot. You may know some people up there and see what their take on Winchester is.
Yeah, I suppose I can go ask around in that type of circles. I can even ask other doctors to try to get a time frame around when those two fellows showed up. So you got to get treated by somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose there's still the question of trying to, which I suppose you're gonna check out at the police office to see if he still has an apartment somewhere. And go check that out.
Follow that up.
All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do is, this is actually working well because we're starting to get low on time, so this will bring a lot of threads together. I'm going to start with you, Jameis. Gavin's going to the police office, correct?
Yep.
Well, when you get there in kind of a rush of activity as they're getting officers together and coordinating with the fire department because apparently... the Winchester gym is caught on fire.
Jolly good show.
They drag you along since you are having an investigation going on with this as well. So you're in the car now with an even more tired looking Miss Blair, who has gone to just wearing sunglasses now.
Coffee?
She still has a coffee mug in her hand as she's whipping the wheel of the car around trying to get over to the Winchester place. And
if I had a chance, I would have rung and left a message at Trina because I know she can just fly on over.
The question is...
Trina has to invest in a copy machine to keep Blair in a good mood.
The question is, how would you get a hold of Trina if she's not going back to her shop?
All I can do is just leave the message there.
Yep, that's it. Right. All right, so she's taking you there and just filling you in the meantime what's going on. They got a report from the restaurant above the gym, that there was smoke downstairs. And if you remember from your trip in, there was a single door with no windows or any entrance from the above.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody from the restaurant came downstairs to check in. They found that the door was locked or barred inside. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get in. And looking through the windows, they could see that there were people slumped over inside and there was smoke coming out through what ventilation fans there were. That just happened minutes ago. And so, you know, the fire department and the police are on their way over right now. When you get there, fire department has gotten there ahead of you, and they're in the process of breaking down the door to the gym. They do so.
Defeated us, I think.
Billowing smoke comes out from the inside. The fire people are rushing in to try and save who they can. And they start bringing people out that seem to be slumped over. Some of them seem to be, all of them seem to be very woozy. Some of them are unconscious, but it does seem like everybody is alive, just with some very bad smoke inhalation. What are you doing while you're there, Jameis?
Keeping out of the way for the most part. Looking around to see if there's anyone hanging around who's suspicious. That'd be about it, because I've no help. And just, you know, seeing if they get Winchester out or, you know, who they bring out.
Yep.
Who's there and who's not there that I know of, particularly the two brothers and Winchester himself.
You're keeping track of who's coming in and out, and there was only a few people in there, for starters. And one thing that you're noticing is that Mr. Winchester was not there, neither were the two prize fighters that you were introduced to earlier. Seems to be everybody that they're pulling out were just club members.
Right. No, it's been a while. Probably just my reasons for that.
see.
Great. Now, is there anything that Gavin wants to look into while he's here? Or why did he go to the police department in the first place?
That seems rather redundant now. I was checking to see, well, the police station wise, I was checking to see if the apartments were still available, still had as evidence, what they had on Winchester, what they had on Sully. I was also going to look at what effect they had for Mick Sullivan and see if his handwriting matched what was on the card to eliminate that.
All right. Since the fire actually doesn't take all that long to pull out, and they do rescue everyone that was inside, brought to the hospital just for smoke inhalation, there's no really one there that you can question, so I'm going to assume you just go back to police headquarters with Blair. There's not really a lot more they can do there. They've got the teams checking in to see what caused the fire, but they won't know that right away. So you can go over the reports. His apartment has been put up for rent. All of his stuff has been removed by the owner, but it's been put in storage. So all of his stuff is...
This is of both Sullivan and Bradley.
This is Tony's place. Tony Sullivan's. So his apartment was put up for rent because he didn't pay for the last month. So, of course, you know, they figured out, well, he's not coming back. All of his stuff is being held by the owner of the building, pending Tony coming back. Of course, Tony's dead, so now it's just being held. His father hasn't come down to sort through things. The alley that it happened in still has police tape up around it. They have they've gone through it as a crime scene, but they haven't pulled down anything yet.
That's weird. It's been a month. You wouldn't think they would still have police tape up.
Well, if you've noticed the trend so far, leaving the submarine that had police tape on it in the docks for so long, leaving a car. The police are really slow about removing things.
They're just waiting for this air bar to appropriate them.
Speaking of being slow, I asked Miss Blair to just contact with Jess's place information. Just check if any paperwork has mysteriously vanished in the fire. Mm-hmm. But that can be something they can deal with later.
Yes. All right, I'm going to flip over to the doctor. So what is the doctor doing?
I'm going to start by calling around and seeing if I can get the medical records on those two brothers.
Sure.
The ones that are leading the first prize fight, calling other doctors I know.
Okay, give me so a, is that context. Give me a context roll for this
one. Ooh. That would be a 2. I'm going to spend an aspect to bring that up to a 4. That's a doctor in the house.
Okay, good enough. Actually, you do get some information back from a source you weren't expecting. It's actually a doctor who's been disbarred, he's been discredited, but it's not because he's a poor doctor, it's because of some of his patients that he dealt with that were known criminals that kind of rubbed off on his, on his career, as it were. And he's been since still plying his career, but for people that can't really go to a hospital, he knows the two brothers. And this kind of
what does he know about
the
two brothers?
The two brothers are actually quite well known in specific circles where some hired muscle is needed to make good on debts. They're actually pretty well known for this. This is kind of what they did as a career before they found boxing.
And how long have they been in the city?
In the city? Oh, a few years off and on.
I didn't catch that part.
Oh, a few years off and on. They go in and out of city for work purposes.
Okay, so now the question is, why did they burn down that place? Anyway, so what does he know about the proprietor, Winchester? This is my backroom contact, apparently.
Actually, he's a philanthropist. I mean, he has his restaurant has been in the family for a while. This particular version of Metapol was started by his father. He took over from his father. And he has tried numerous different ventures to kind of branch out from the restaurant business. Most of them has failed, but he was left a pretty tidy sum by his family, so he's not He's certainly nowhere near bankrupt, but he's had a lot of failed this forays into different types of businesses. And the newest one is the sports racket, getting into boxing as a manager. Nothing else particularly on him. I mean, he has sent people to you before, some other boxers that he's kind of backed that never went anywhere. So, you know, he's got a good name. His family name is still good. There's nothing... nothing in his background to think, you know, yeah, I'm reading all this that's going on, all the speculation that you guys are throwing back and forth. Yeah, I mean, he pays his debts on time. No one has anything bad to say about him, just that he's been unlucky with a lot of his business endeavors.
All right.
Prices go up and down at this.
Yeah. It's hard to have illegal sports enhancers when I don't think they outlaw them in this damn city.
Nope.
Nope. It'd be an interesting train of thought, though. Explain how you could beat them into a pulp.
As you say, you get two people to beat one person to a pulp, that'll do it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
exactly. Two trained boxers versus one trained boxer, it does matter how good of a boxer you are.
Anyway.
I think that's for now all the lines, so I'm still going to be checking around for medical records. It probably took me a while.
Sure. And, okay. And we're going on to our archaeologist of sorts.
Currently investigating into the mystery of the broken jawline.
Mm-hmm. You've got a shiner, but you come through it pretty well. And actually, you've kind of got the respect of some of the boxers in this place. So were you hanging around there and trying to get more information?
I'm going to continue trying to get information. One thing I would like to see if there's any people who visit both clubs or gyms.
Actually, the clientele is pretty loyal to one gym or another. There's not a lot of crossing there. But you do hear about these two professor types that deal with those metal men. And apparently they both have had dealings with both clubs, although they got a pretty good deal going on here now since Sully put in that new basement. They've got more room to test out their robots. But they both had their robots doing, you know, like fighting actual men in the ring just to kind of get an idea of how real boxers move and how real boxers fight.
So I'm trying to figure out what to do with my time now. I guess I'll continue trying to pump people for information, but I'm going to take a close interest in, the machinist. In between getting the equal set of bruises on both sides.
Yeah, so you're probably being used as a partner for a few other people. And something that you learn, actually, give me. You're kind of being the pal type here and getting information for them. So give me a rapport roll here.
Okay, come on, fudge dice, don't kill me again. Please. Okay, that would break even.
Awful rolls all night.
I know. Except for that one good roll during the bottom. That breaks even. I use another aspect.
What do you have? Seed.
I'm guessing courtly manner wouldn't get me anywhere.
You probably get kind of curious again.
Yes. Kind of careful, yeah, because he's very good at dealing with people because he's so used to dancing around difficult subjects.
Sure, you can do that. So you want to just get the plus two, or do you want to reroll?
I'm guessing the plus two would be the best.
Okay, so
because then I break the two.
Sure. You kind of catch this in passing from one of the younger guys that occasionally helps out with the metal guys in the basement, and he's heard that Mr. Jackson's going to come down to the gym. Either sometime tonight or tomorrow, and he wanted to have a round at one of these metal men, and one of the professors, he's not sure which one of the guys, has agreed to let him box his metal man.
That is a great interest to me. Not only do I want to see that fight, but I'd like to make sure that... is there a way for me to contact Miss Blair?
You can just call the police office. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, I'd just like to leave a note about that with Metropole Police, because I think that's something that they should definitely be aware of. That's all I'm watching over.
Sounds good. And actually, when you do call over, I'm going to say this took long enough for since you were boxing during this time as well, that Gavin, you're in Miss Blair's office when she gets the phone call, so you're relayed the information. So she's not quite sure what else to do with it.
Yeah. If that's how he wants to pass his time.
I'm thinking it'd be more than easy enough to remove a certain champion or disable him for a fight when you're up against a machine which can smash concrete girders.
And let's go to Drina now. Drina, what were you doing?
Well, looking at this guy Beckett, I'm assuming that he has to hang out in the same kind of engineer, mechanic type circles that I do. Mm-hmm. So I ask around at like at the Broken Cog and other places where those guys hang out. Like, he must have had a job at some point.
Okay. Give me a context roll.
A three.
Some people there have heard of him. Mr. Beckett, he comes in here and drinks every once in a while. You get the idea from some people that know him that the guy's like really closed mouth about the stuff that he works on. It's like he seems affable enough, but if you start asking him too much details about his robots, he kind of clams up and says, you know, like, that's special information I don't want to just give out. After all, this is how I'm making my money these days.
I see. So he was making most of his money via these robots. I mean, so what do, how many guys are, like, fans of the robot fights and stuff?
Everybody in the cogs are really right. Enthused about them. It's gaining ground, especially since there is word going on that there may be laws passed soon that will make boxing not legal at all.
Interesting. Well, okay. I guess... Does anybody know where this Beckett guy lives?
They can tell you where his where he works. They don't know if he lives there, but there's a warehouse out in District 8 near the docks that he uses occasionally. That's the best anyone knows because he's pretty private about his stuff.
District 8 isn't near the docks.
Oh, I'm sorry, not 8. What do we have down there? 7.
Five and six.
Five and six, yeah, it would be District 6. 8's near the top. Yeah.
Okay. Something relocators work. Bassett going by on a truck.
Well, I'm not going in there by myself, and I'm still not sure. I'm not sure how he's involved, except that he and Tony seem to know each other really well and be interested in the robot fighting exhibit. So, no, that's all I've got.
All right, good enough. So, what do you guys do with the rest of the evening? I mean, I'm assuming this takes several hours between while you're all doing this.
As I said, I'm going to obsessively look at this. I just checked the handwriting to see if it mixed on the card, on his position.
You're testing the handwriting versus mixed handwriting?
Yeah, like, you see he's got stuff in the glove box and whatnot, those sorts of papers.
Okay. Let me just get this straight. You're wanting to check to see if it's his own handwriting that's on the back of the card?
Yeah.
Yes. It's actually, once you get a couple of samples of his stuff, you can tell that it is his.
Yep. Just wanted to completely chase that down.
Congrats, you found out whose handwriting it is.
Yeah, I know.
Excellent.
I don't know how that helped us.
I didn't say it helped us. I'm just something I was just working at and working at. I'll find out sooner or later.
Our last lead has gone bye-bye. I don't know.
No, we got plenty of leads still.
Yeah, we still have quite a few.
Obviously, what's in the boxing match between our champion and the robot? Best putting money on the robot if I can.
Mm-hmm. So you're gonna hang around for that? So are you gonna hang around the place for that to happen?
Yes.
Okay. From what you're getting, it's kind of rumored because they're wanting to make sure it doesn't get too far, you know, outside of the people that work out here because they don't want the press around for it. It's supposed to be just something that Jackson wanted to do, and he didn't want to make a spotlight out of it. But they're not having anyone clear the gym either. So you do find out that, oh, hey, Jackson just called. Yeah, they're going to do it. They're going to do it this evening, like around, you know, he wants to get some food first and loosen up a bit. He's going to be at the gym around 8, 9 o'clock tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of excitement about it.
Copiously. As he realizes he's going to have to tend to bots until that time.
it's Connolly's robot he's going to be going against. He's the guy down in the basement, and apparently that's why the robot was here today.
And Drina fixed it up for him. Well, on the plus side, you can always say that you helped build the robot which took down a champion.
So what's going on is, since it's going to happen that late, the gym usually closes down around 8 o'clock or so, but some people are going to hang around to watch it. And, the guys that you've been boxing with are like, yeah, we'll vouch for you. You can stay. You know, they're inviting you out to dinner with them. They're going to come back, afterwards. They said, yeah, the least we can do is offer you a steak for your stomach and one for your eye.
A low blow, but I'll suffer it. I have to take what we give him.
So yeah, you do manage an invite back. So do the rest of you guys get back together and share information, or
I'm thinking it might be best to go. There's Miss Blair located in Winchester to talk to him about his club going to Bowie.
Oh, so you're okay. That's right. You're checking on that to find out. Yeah, Mr. Winchester was actually out having lunch with some other potential investors when his club caught on fire. So, you know, they were able to find him and get him down there. You know, he's really upset about it.
Does it seem real?
I'm going to say that they actually bring him down to the police office, you know, to get a statement to find it all out. You can give me an empathy roll there.
That's definitely my version of empathy.
Yep, go ahead. Okay. True. Yeah, you're actually it seems to be a shock to him that it happened, but he doesn't seem surprised. As in, like, he's genuinely affected by it. You know, he's very emotional about it. You know, he's really agitated that it happened, but he doesn't seem to do a lot. He doesn't seem to ask, you know, he doesn't ask the questions you would expect, like, you know who did it, you know how it happened. He's not asking those questions at all. Miss Blair is just interviewing him in her office, so if you wanted to ask him something, you can.
Trying to think of something useful.
He just keeps repeating, oh, this is going to look bad for those investors.
He was found at lunch.
And I'm going to also say, just to speed stuff along here, too, that you do get the reports back from the teams checking on what started the fire. Mm-hmm. Best they can tell, the fire started in the bank of lockers on the left-hand side of the building there. There was some accelerant involved. Someone started a fire in a locker. They can't really pinpoint which locker it was, though.
So he hasn't actually been, from what I can gather, I don't know, but he hasn't actually been told who was found down there?
No. He himself and his two prize boxers are having dinner with some potential investors. So he knew where they were.
Right. Sure, there's an excellent question I could ask, which would break this whole thing, but at the moment my brain isn't coming up with it.
I'm lost.
Right, just tell me what you guys are doing for this evening, if you're getting together or not, what to deal with. If there's anything at all else you want to take a look at before night.
I will let the others, or attempt to let the others know. I'll call their answering machine and let them know what I found out about the brothers. And ask them to see if they want to meet up.
I do.
Oh, just I will bring up. Was your card covered for insurance?
Actually, the restaurant was covered. The gym, you know, it's part of the building, so it'll be under that. But it wasn't, you know, the policy wasn't exceptionally large or anything. I mean, he's probably not going to even break even on the damages.
Right. So can you think of anyone who would want to do this to you?
Mm-hmm. Give me an empathy roll.
My vision is at 5.
He doesn't answer you. He just kind of looks at you steadily and just doesn't answer the question.
I can look at him steadily, too. I'm sure Miss Blair would be interested in this. I'm sure Miss Blair would be interested in the silence.
Yeah, so Miss Blair is interested in it and says, if you know who might have done this, you realize you're obstructing a case here if you don't tell us what you know. And he says, well, I can tell you who I've been having some trouble with, but understand I'm not making an official complaint about this, okay? No, I'm not putting his name up for the charges, from what you understand. Just a suspicion that I've got. And so Miss Blair, you know, brings out the wire recording device and turns it on and says, certainly. alright, and he tells you a little bit about one of his failed business ventures was with a man named P. Beckett, who was into this new fad of robot boxing, and he backed him for a little bit. Even let him use his gym space when after hours when no one was there to test out his robot. And they had a little bit of an outing when he just wasn't bringing in the money that Mr. Beckett had promised. It's just around the corner. It's always just around the corner. And yeah, his robot won a lot, but the purses were always small. It just hadn't caught on as a sport. And eventually he just told him, look, you know, I can't back you anymore. There's no money in this. And had him taken out, you know, of the gym. He still had some stuff there, that he couldn't, take with him, and he never came back for it. But, thinks it might be a way that, he's getting back at him, you know, start a petty fire or have somebody start it. That was pretty intense about his work. We were private about it, and, you know, it's a sore nerve whenever you ask to look at his equipment too much, but, what was I supposed to do? You know, he's a business venture that never paid off. I had to cut him off sooner or later. And he was pretty sore about it. He was having problems finding a place around here to test out his robot. I hear that Sully put down a new place in his basement, and he's been going over there since. The guy was pretty sore about it, and you know, as we're having the boys escort him out, he promised he'd get his revenge on that. I mean, the guy is so mad about it. I mean, you know, he got quite a bit out of me for his little hobby. Hello?
Jim's got dropped. Oh, he's asking me to call back in.
Yeah, let me see if I can get him back in.
Right. Hello?
You back?
Hello.
There you are. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Right. What did you miss?
Hello.
Yeah. So, yeah, he was basically just saying that he had some bad blood between this inventor guy, Mr. P. Beckett, that he had him escorted out of the gym without all of his stuff and not allowed him to return.
His name has come to our attention before. Interesting. Gavin's also a mean opponent. Can you kick Gavin?
Do what?
From the server? Can you kick Gavin from the server?
Oh, I cannot. I'm sorry. While I'm looking that up. So what is your next move, guys?
I believe we have a villain.
A what?
A villain. The villain of the piece.
Ah. Mr. Beckett.
That man and his marvelous fighting machine.
Well, I am going to see the robot fight, I think.
Well, okay, so... So we're proposing, right, that what's his name? Tony. Liked fighting robots, so fought that robot and died due to concussions off of it. Which I guess would kind of make sense. The other guy must have been there. The other guy must have been there so that the tech guy who could build a device to sabotage a car, like that sabotaged his car to make sure that he didn't talk.
It may have been took out the top two prize fighters of the gym.
And why? In fact that,
well, no, Tony, for, well, because, I don't know, he wanted to.
No, I'm thinking that Tony decided to do something crazy and decided to fight it himself. Got taken out because he's fighting a damn robot. And, basically, he wanted to hide the, hide that fact, and the only other person who was there at that time would have been the other guy. What might have happened is this would have all happened while they were at the other gym at Winchester's. Maybe that's why he's vowing revenge. Maybe it was his robot, but not necessarily him that turned it on. I'm still stuck up.
Pete Beckett was obviously involved. We have to go talk to Pete Beckett. I think the least going to come down to. Before we know, Winchester did order his brothers to go and beat the crap out of Tony.
Maybe it's two different. That's a bit. We're just assuming they're good.
Exactly.
Which would drive us a lot less nuts.
I don't know about that. Either way, I think
we know. Well, true. I mean, if you look at both the victims, I mean, one of them's killed by being beaten up, and the other one's being killed indirectly. So that's two completely different MOs for how they've been killed. It's just that they knew each other, that we're putting them both together in the time frame.
It's true.
Well, Mick may have been called in to fight the robots. Saw the robots in no freaking way and took off and... by that time he'd sabotaged the car. I don't know. Nothing leaks with that kind of timeline.
I still think that Mick was there at the original death of Tony. Tony fought the robot.
Tony's crime scene is still there if you want to go look at it.
Yeah. Let's go and do that.
That and Pete Beckett are the two most obviously to pull up at the moment while we let Drina's new enhanced robot beat the crap out of one of the boxes.
I'll tell you what, you guys are much better at talking to people than I am, so why don't you guys go investigate Pete Beckett, and I will secretly go investigate the crime scene.
Yeah, I'm just trying to... I'm still waiting for the big fight to happen, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. Is Abel still there?
I'm here.
Cool.
I'm just sad that one of Trina's robots isn't fighting in the...
you can customize Ada, rebuild it into a fighting machine.
No, she's got two or three robots from sitting around her garage.
Yes, so.
That's true. It wouldn't be that much work for her.
So what are we doing? Investigating the crime scene? P. Beckett? What?
I will go investigate the crime scene. If you want to join me, you can. And you can go talk to P. Beckett, or both of us can, depending on how you want to do it.
It'd be better for all of us to be talking to Pete Beckett, because I suspect it may go down.
Do we want to look at the crime scene? Because if I can tell if he was killed there, then
I think we should all go investigate the crime scene, do it quickly, bunch of eyes, we'll be able to spot things a lot quicker than mine, and then we'll go talk to P. Pickett, just get things on with it.
Okay. All right. To the crime scene.
Okay. So you're going to the alley this time?
Yep.
All right. Yes. So the police tape is still like attached, although some person at some time, probably the restaurant that is one of the walls of the alley needed to use the back area, so they just kind of ripped off the tape, but it's still kind of attached there. So there have been people, you know, in and out through the alley, but you can still see where the crime scene was. The guy has had his window repaired, so you've got this brand new window in the wall where the body was thrown through. But yeah, you do see kind of where it happened in the alley. Just everybody give me alertness rolls.
To Alexander.
Sarah.
I have a 5 unless I can use my forensic science. Then I have a something ridiculous.
Well, since you're kind of all doing this together, I'm just going to, you know, your best roll was 5 there with some helping help added to it. You don't need to spend anything else. There's some things you're able to figure out directly from the crime scene. One, it's too narrow and there's too much stuff in the way for if P. Beckett's bot is built anything like the robot you saw, there's no way that they could have moved through this alley. There's just too much garbage in the way. The fire escape ladders, the large trash bins, there's just no way one of those things could move through here.
Okay.
Okay. The second thing, and that roll of a 5, plus like some, we'll call it some helper, moves here, you find a white powder. Just kind of swept up away from like the back door of where the restaurant is, but it's still there. Apparently the place doesn't get cleaned out very well at all, but yeah, you've got some white powder back here.
I'll compare it to the vial of white powder that I have. Is it the same?
Visually, it looks the same.
Okay, I'll put that in a separate container. Interesting. Does it look like the blood and stuff that's dried onto the location? Does it look blood that he actually got beat up here?
Since it's been so long, it would be really difficult to tell, especially since the crime scene for most purposes has been walked over and basically repaired, etc. But you really can't tell that from just what blood is left after the place has been cleaned, you know? So it would be difficult to say.
What about the original photos?
Like going from that, it looks very convincing. Like, he was probably not dead when he was thrown through the window, and bled out over time.
Good question. When did, he may not have, but when did Winchester last say he had dealings with Pickett? How long ago?
6 months ago.
Yeah, 6 months ago. It's been a while ago.
Right, okay.
Okay, well, the powder kind of indicates to me that I think the brothers did it, but,
yeah. But did people get hired the brothers, or did Winchester get the brothers to go after Tony, or?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a problem. We don't know. P. Beckett. Let's go to P. Beckett and see what the hell you can tell us or whatever.
So, Drina got a warehouse address, which is not his home, but a place where he's been known to work.
Close enough.
Right. And you get there, and it's padlocked, but there doesn't seem to be anyone around if you hammer on the door, etc.
Do you want to have a look inside?
I'm sure, why not? I mean,
if you give me a moment.
Someone going to deal with the lock?
Yep, we'll try to. Yep.
I'm just going to take a look and look to see if there's any like windows that are slightly cracked open.
The warehouse has windows. They've all been boarded up.
I think what's...
How
give it away? It's at least a That's a 5.
Yeah, cheap lock. I mean, it's simple enough to pop open. Although it's well cared for. It's been well oiled and used recently.
I'm sure. But it's open. Oh, look, the headlock fell open. It was open all this time, honest, Gav.
All right. Well, you go in, and there are, you know, it's lots of mechanical parts lined up on different shelves. There's a well-lit area where, you know, it looks like a repair bay or a mechanics bay. Deep ruts in the ground where you can see that something's been moved back and forth quite often that was heavy. There's no robot in here now. Lots of gear just hanging out on the shelves and on the tables, though. There's a cold cup of coffee on the table.
Wouldn't Becca be at the fight right now?
No, it was Conway's robot.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's weird.
Based off of the big marks on the floor, how wide was his robot?
His robot, it looks to be a bit larger than Conley's.
Maseba, does he have the sort of stuff here that would enable him to build that speed booster thingy?
Give me a roll, Drina. She's the only one to have that kind of knowledge.
Six, then, sure.
Yeah, and actually something else that kind of comes to your mind directly is that the casing the device was built out of, well, there's a roll of that metal right there.
And finally, the last piece falls into place.
No, it doesn't. We still have gaping
holes. That's like the first piece.
Yes. It should make everything else make sense now.
All right. So I guess now we understand. So where's our guy now? Where's his robot?
There's no white van truck thing here?
No, but you know, I'm just gonna make it a little shorter. Just asking around the neighborhood, there usually is a white truck parked back here.
Like the one that was parked out back at Winchester's.
Yeah.
What if he never actually broke with Beckett? Nope, that doesn't make sense, because then Beckett wouldn't bomb the car to his club unless he did it. I don't... Ah!
Alright.
Unless Beckett did it deliberately to throw off scent or something. I don't freaking know anymore. Damn you, Bert.
The fire, it could be an accident.
Possibly. He didn't seem surprised that it happened.
He didn't seem surprised, but he wasn't expecting, or he didn't seem like surprised that it happened, but he also wasn't really expecting it to happen necessarily.
It could have just been a device that he knew was there and, you know, the possibility of it blowing up sometime. But why would he tell Pete Beckett then? Why would he hand Pete Beckett in? Is there any paperwork here that says where how Pete Beckett lives?
Looking around, there's actually very little paperwork anywhere, but something that I'm going to say you come across there, Gavin, since you've been looking at it the most, you do find on like a memo book that just has like, you know, times and dates on it, you find an entry on the day that Mick Bradley died, and it's got the same entry as on the back of the card. 10 o'clock to $200.
Ah.
Well, we definitely know who killed him. That's at least something. If the robot... We saw the robot yesterday, essentially, at Winchester's. Should we not go to Winchester's and see if the robot's still there in some sort of charred hunk sort of thing?
I mean, I'm not sure what else we might do here.
Yeah, we need to find Pete Beckett and his truck and his robot and smack him or something.
And the last place we saw the truck was at Winchester's.
Yep.
I submit to you that trying to take on a robot made to fight is probably might be a little much for us right now.
Take out the controller.
Well, what if I were to build a robot?
A round of applause.
I saw that coming.
Yes. Oh, man. It still deserves a round of applause.
I mean, only to make sure that we have the same equipment and ability as the bad guy.
I'll propose to you that we don't have to fight the guy with the robot, or we don't have to fight the robot, but the guy with the robot, and we don't actually have to even
die.
We don't actually have to even if the robot keeps coming after us, we just go through alleyways and stuff that are too. Wait, crap! Oh.
Yeah, see, this is my suggestion, is the robot is made to fight, you see, which means it may be, am I wrong here? We're saying that here that one of these robots was quick enough to catch a professional boxer and give him a good beating.
No, he was, well, the robot, you know, was not in the alleyway.
Well, no, he wasn't in the alleyway, but what did we find out about the guy? He was punched and flew through a window. How hard could a robot that could punch that hard punch you? What if the robot never actually made it into the alleyway, but was waiting outside in, like,
the street? You need to find Steve Pickett and the robot either way. Bert, how illegal is us being in the schoolhouse right now?
highly.
Yeah, we can't. Okay. We don't have nearly enough evidence to really justify, like, a search warrant or anything. All we know is he has a workshop and his robot fought in the same place as this guy.
And
was
he has the material around that killed Mick.
Yeah, Drina saw through the window. As I go fly a board off the window.
The biggest piece of evidence you have here is the rolled metal that made the housing to the device. Yeah, because, I mean, Drina's probably got the equipment around in her shop to make the device. But in particular, the housing was a particular type of metal that is here. Not that it couldn't be elsewhere, but it just, you know.
We need to find Pete Bickett, and if whatever happens, we need to find him. But how? Drive to Winchester's, drive to Sully's, and see if he turns up there, but that's about all. Maybe the best hotel and last ditch.
The only other thing I can think of, Gavin, is now that I'm thinking about it, maybe the robot wasn't in the alley. Cocaine in the alley.
Here's the thing. I think we should go to the fight because whatever else we know about this guy Beckett, he really cares about these robot fights. He spends a lot of time, a lot of money building this robot to be, you know, to be the champion of these tournaments. So he'll be there.
Did we ever find out that Pete Beckett wasn't even there? I am not presuming.
I don't know.
Well, Winchester did refer to him as he.
Yeah, all that's right. What I was going to say.
Okay. Just wondering. There would have been nothing more interesting if it turned out to be him.
All right, so just are we going to cut to the man versus robot fight now? Is that what I'm hearing?
I suppose.
We have no idea what PBK looks like.
Connolly will be there, and Sully will be there, and they've both seen Beckett plenty of times.
If we can arrange for... We're going to have to tell Sully that we're with the guilds, because I'm going to need easy access in and out of the place, because I'm going to be looking around for the truck outside. And I might need to get in quickly when the gym's normally locked up.
Well, we're going to need to do that anyway, even to get in.
Yeah.
Let's with do the that. Exception of Jonathan.
Yeah. I'm already there, so...
Yeah.
Let's do that.
All right. Here's what's going to happen then. So you do tell Sully who you guys really are then.
It's just
going to be safe so for me.
Except for John's character. Okay. All right. Scouting the neighborhood there, Gavin. The white van or white truck is still behind Sully's place. It hasn't moved. But.
Oh, those behind Winchester's. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was behind Winchester's.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's one behind Winchester's, but there is one behind Sully's now as well. I'm sorry. So yes, there is one behind Sully's. It's the same. It looks like it may be the same van.
I got in the good memory. I've been there for license plates the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not really so much in the way of license plates, since if you can own a car, you can drive a car. but it looks, that particular scratch on the paint, you know, it looks right. Do you want to get in the truck this time and take a look?
Yeah, this time I'll be investigating more.
Okay.
Come on, Gavin versus the robot. You know it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, Gavin, the car is locked, so let's see if you can get past that first.
I'm sure he left it unlocked.
That's two at the moment.
Okay. You're about to just tumble the lock. You know, it seems like a pretty straightforward lock. But you notice that there is something non-standard, looks a little odd about the lock, and it gives you a moment of hesitation there.
Can I get like a piece of metal on the wood or something like that just to prod the damn lock and see if anything particularly zaps happening?
Yes, you can. So you just find a loose piece of board there in the back. You know, there's a bit of garbage back there, so you find one easily enough, and you just kind of give the lock a couple of thumps. And sure enough, there's a thump in the end of the log that you're tapping the door with, just kind of ignites.
Right. Let's not be breaking in there. I'll just try again with another piece of wood to see if it continually does it all in one shot.
It looks like it's a one shot.
Oh, in that case.
Yep. I'm going to say that your previous roll was enough to pop it this time. It looks like it was just like a once and done sort of defense. You're peering through the back, and you can see through the back of the van, and there is a robot that's kind of just punched down, seems to be deactivated.
All right, part number two, I'm going to drive a truck away.
All right. Our robot problem has halfway been solved.
Yeah, what do you say?
Well, unless the robot suddenly comes alive while I'm driving.
Where do you take it and how far away?
Where are we now in District 6?
Mm-hmm. Sully's really is in District 7, so.
District 7? Right. Where's the most, one of the more secure locations I'm aware of? The impound yard. That's where I'm going to take it. The frickin' impound yard.
Okay, so, alright.
Or impound yard.
I'll be warning people that there's got this freaking thing on the side which may burst out any second, but yeah, the police.
Okay, so while you're driving the van away, the rest of you guys have gone in to watch the fights. Connolly's there at the side of the ring. There's a bunch of people helping him to get the robot into the ring. The ring has been reinforced to hold the robot's weight. Connolly seems to have some kind of a remote pack that he's using to manipulate to get the robot on. Although, you know, from the rules of the robot boxing, as it were, the robot has to be autonomous, so the control unit is apparently just to move it around before he actually activates the robot itself. And Peter the Black Prince Jackson is there, and all of his fans here, getting autographs from him. They seem to really love this guy, and he's playing to them too, but he seems to be, you know, really, he's not very egotistical. Like, these are his people, and, you know, he's just doing this to have some fun, to see, you know, how good these mechanical men are. And so apparently the robot's been programmed with the newest rules. It knows the Marquis Kingsbury rules, and bell goes off, and Connolly turns off his remote unit and lays it down, and the robot comes to life. One of the eyes kind of light up red, and they seem to track until it centers on Jackson and puts up its hands, and they kind of go at it. Jackson in the first round is very, very hesitant. He doesn't go in. He wants to see how slow this robot is, how fast it moves. The robot's pretty ungainly. Basically, it just moves forward and back, but it has a lot longer range with its arms, and it's got more mobility with its torso. So it's able to bob and weave, but it can't move forward. It can only move forward and backwards. So Jackson, seeing this, you know, decides, I've got a better attack. So he gets in on the side of the robot where the robot can twist his torso to follow, but really can't move when he's being attacked from the side. So Jackson starts, you know, hammering blows on it, going towards its back, and kind of circles it. The robot is doing pretty well, especially since one of its arms is got a little bit better aim now. Does manage to glance Jackson on the side of the head, just a glancing blow, but it's strong enough that it just throws Jackson across to the other side of the ring. You know, he shakes it off and comes in. This goes on for a few rounds until the robot just lands this devastating uppercut on Jackson and just knocks him out. And at that point, everyone's like, whoa, stop the fight, stop the fight. Conley goes and grabs his remote control unit and turns it on and shuts down the robot. Red eye on the robot blinks off. Robot seems to shut down. And then as Conley starts to try and move the robot off the stage with the remote, the red eye flares back on. It puts its arms back and it starts to move forward towards Jackson. Conley's there shaking the remote control unit back and forth and starts yelling out, I don't have control of it! I don't have control of it!
Okay. And I leap onto the robot's back.
Why not?
All right, so I'm just going to give the players initiative. What are all of you doing? Drina's going to leap onto the thing's back. That's going to be difficult because you've got to climb onto the stage first and then jump from like one of the top rings to be tall enough to do it. Okay? So I'm going to put you at a few minuses to do that. But what's everyone else doing?
It's not going to work. I'm going to look around and see if I see anybody else with a controller.
Okay, so go ahead, John. What are you doing?
I'm looking for anything with water in it, lots of liquids. So bottle of water, drinks, anything.
Okay, and Gavin's still driving away. I'm going to do this in reverse order. John, you see a bucket of water that's right next to the stage. They use it to throw on anyone that gets knocked out to revive them. So there's a bucket of water right next to the stage. And you don't have to roll anything to find that. It's obvious once you start looking. Okay. The doctor, give me an alertness roll because the crowd is now kind of packing in. They're trying to get to Jackson and get him out of the way.
You know what the hell? I haven't used my aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find it because I hold myself in high regard. I've got to find it. So I'll put it at a 3.
Puts it at a 3. Okay, with the 3, the crowd is just, they're just too pressed in. It's really hard to see anything past like the first line of people. If you're satisfied with that.
I don't think I have anything else I could use in this circumstance. I was in the war. Wait, no, I'll use that too. I was in the war.
Yeah, so you're good at being in high-pressure situations and with a lot of chaos around. I'll buy that. You're going to do it at just a +2?
Yep.
Okay. Yes, there's a guy hanging out at the back of the crowd. He's kind of hunched over something in his hands that he seems to be manipulating. You can't really see what it is. But he does kind of stand out because he's like one of the few people that aren't moving forward. Andrina, what is your total on an athletics move? Ooh, you're going to be at -2/1 because you're having to climb up first before you jump.
Let's see, so I'm at minus what?
-2.
What am I?
So what's your total?
I'm at 0.
Okay.
There with the...
Should have used your rocket pen.
Yeah, I should have brought it with me. Let's see. No, I guess I'm not going to make it. I'm just going to be climbing on attacking my brain then with that roll.
All right, with a zero, actually you would have climbed up and you're about to leap and you just can't get a good shot. So I'm going to say you're at the top of the top rope and getting ready to. All right. Meanwhile,
to do a Frankensteiner.
Right.
So meanwhile, somebody else.
The robot has cocked back its fists, and it's going to try and end Mr. Jackson, who is unconscious the other end of the ring. Okay. Yeah, his fists shoot forward, and there's just this sickening crunch as he batters Mr. Jackson. The people around the ring try to rush in and pull him away. Some of them do get their hands around Jackson's leg and are starting to try and pull him out of the ring. The robot's got that fist cocked back to come down again. And next actions.
Oh, I'm throwing the bucket of water over the robot.
Okay.
I mean, they're electrical, so it should short out. Yeah. Yep.
What are the rest of you guys doing? Drina's back is right there. If you wanted to try and leap on it this round, no negatives.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to jump on its back.
Okay. And what's the doctor doing?
Part of me says I go heal the guy. Part of me says I take out the guy who's controlling the damn robot. And I'm going to go with take out the guy who's controlling the damn robot.
Okay. You're going to have to wade through the crowd to get to them. So, guess I'm.
Hell no, I'm not going to wade through the crowd. I'm going to take a canister of knockout gas and chuck it at it.
Okay, sounds good. So what did we decide on that? This could be like a throwing roll or athletics, or did we do that as a shooting? I forget.
You told me it's athletics for throwing.
Okay, so you're going to go ahead and throw. So this is pretty much happening at the same time. Drina, you leap from the top of the ring, coming down on the robot. How do you do?
Ooh.
Oh. Is that a
you
negative?
You missed the ring entirely and crashed the floor.
Because you don't land on my butt.
Is it a negative or just a zero?
It's just a zero.
Okay, so you just miss, but you land on your feet just as a bucket of water is thrown on the back of the robot. There are some sparks that start shooting out of it, but it does seem to still be going. And Doctor, throwing roll.
Oh, God, I just made it worse.
Why can't I roll anything today?
Total is...
That's a one so far. I'm trying to think if I have any aspects I could use.
All right, and you're doing the grenade style, so, I mean, a one is going to be enough to hit the area he's in. You're just going to get a lot of people with him. If you're okay with that...
Yeah. I'm fine with that, and then I'm perfectly fine with that.
Okay. There's a small explosion from the back, and a green billowing gas seems to come back from the back into the crowd, which seems to terrify people even more. Your guy is caught in it. He's going to attempt to, and yes, Gaven, as you're driving away, you hear like a static burst from the back, and the robot seems to kind of shudder with motion, but it's doing it like haltingly. Like you see some of the lights come on, and then it kind of fades, like it's not quite getting enough electricity, and it comes kind of starts to come on again. What are you doing?
Change of plan, drive into the dock and see with the damn thing.
All right.
Oops, I misinterpreted the situation.
Yep. Okay, give me a driving roll then if you're going to try and do some fancy driving here to speed up or head towards the docks.
Yeah, I need to get this thing in water now.
Yes, you'll meet Mr. Bradley on your way to Davy Jones' locker.
Yeah, I know. So you need a drive roll?
Give me a driving roll.
Woohoo, five.
Oh, excellent. Actually, with the five, you put the pedal to the metal and you're blaring through the back streets as fast as you dare since, once again, it's nighttime, but you do have your... You have your handy Drina-made goggles. But what you do notice is with the acceleration, as you're picking up speed and going down, it seems like you're getting out of range of whatever's trying to control the robot.
Sweet. Yeah, if I get to the darkness completely did again.
Mm-hmm. It starts to, you know, it'll shudder as if it's trying to respond, and then it will kind of shut down for a few seconds and try to shudder again. With that really good roll, I mean, you're really just speeding down recklessly through the streets, and pretty soon you get far enough away that it stops trying to move. So you're not quite at the docks yet when it doesn't seem to be moving anymore. Meanwhile, it seems that your target there, Doctor, did something with whatever is in his hand right before he's drops it. He's coughing and he's trying to get out of the range of the smoke. He seems very disoriented. Meanwhile, back in the ring. Ooh. Okay, the robot sparks are shooting out of the back end of it, but as it seems to be trying to fill its last order, it still makes a swing at the comatose Mr. Jackson and misses, but he does take out one of the people in the crowd, and the guy just is hit full in the face. I mean, you hear this sickening crunch, and there's this splatter of blood as the guy gets hurled from the ring. It's enough time for Mr. Jackson's fans to pull him off of the ring and start, you know, they're trying to hustle him out towards the back of the gym. And there's all this chaos going around with this green gas, and people are choking and gasping, just falling over from where they stand. Drina, you are in the middle of the ring. The robot now has got the aspect on fire.
Right. Okay, no problem.
But it still seems to be moving. It's just having problems with the moving.
No problem, yeah. See, the thing is, I'm absent-minded, and I forgot to tell our robot inventor that when we remachined the gear, it actually, like, off-balanced the robot's head. So he's got the aspect glass chin as I wind up and crack the wrench at the joint where his head and neck meet.
Okay, so you're gonna tag it with an aspect wear?
Yes, he's okay. Got a glass chin.
Alright. Spin your chips, and since you did get the chance to fiddle in there earlier, I'm gonna say that you're just making a call to make this true. That's fine. And okay, so what are you doing with this information?
Yeah, I got the wrench in hand, and I'm stepping up to the robot, and I'm cracking it right there, that joint where the neck and his head meet.
Mm-hmm.
And
the fighting roll there, so -2, it ends up with a 1. Actually, no, since you're doing, well, yeah, this would be his fighting roll for the turn, so it's got a 1. What did you end up with?
Yeah, so with the fighting, that's a 4 plus the aspect.
Okay, so 6. Okay. 6. The thing is armored, so you're not as effective as you otherwise might be, but you do give it just a good shot just underneath its mechanical chin, and its head just kind of rears back a little bit. You can see some exposed wires back there. It's still moving, though, but you think you've disoriented it even further. Meanwhile, Doctor, what are you doing? The guy's still trying. It looks like your gas is affecting him, but he's fighting it, and looks like he's trying to crawl away. You've got a lot of people that have fallen down between you and him, though, that have succumbed to your gas. Not to mention, the gas is actually kind of, you know, wafting in your direction.
Oh, crap. I'm going to throw another one at him, and yeah, that's about it right now.
Okay.
Hopefully not knock myself unconscious.
All right. Give me a roll.
Oh, finally. 4.
Okay. You're better precision this way, so you drop it a little further out, so you catch him in the blast. A few other people around him, but you're not. It's further from you. Okay, so you still have some gas coming towards you, but you do get another one go off, and looks like that might have done it as he stopped moving. And John, what else?
So the robot still looks like it's going to go on for a while.
It does look like it's still moving, although it seems to have a harder time tracking things. Its red eye in the middle is just kind of wobbling back and forth all over the place. It doesn't seem to be able to settle on one target, and it's just kind of flailing around.
Yeah, it does just have two aspects on it.
I'm just trying to judge whether or not Drina's got it or if I should get up there and try and help. Oh, real world is the high school side. Okay, I'm going to climb up into the ring as well.
Okay, and are you going to engage it? What are you going to do?
I've got my sword, which I'm going to take out.
Mm-hmm.
I did say that he doesn't really know how to use it, but he's got basic practice in how to use it.
Okay.
And mostly he's going to
aim the aspect somehow.
Brain in the books.
Okay.
So that would be useful.
Sure. You've read something about... go ahead and...
Robots expects for free.
So let's see, it's got weak joints as well. We know about its joints, it's got its chin up, and you the exposed wiring under its neck, and so I'm going to go for the wiring.
Okay, just give me the roll first before we tag any further aspects, because we'll tag everything at the end.
That's one, that's plus two then.
Okay, you have a two in your for using your sword.
Okay, so that's four.
Okay. So we've tagged its glass jaw with exposed wiring. It's got a four. Alright, are you good with that, or do you want to try and tag anything else?
I want to make sure this thing goes down. So, brain in the books. So I know that's how to disable this thing quickly because I've read books on electronics.
Okay.
So would that help?
And, you're going to do it as a plus two?
Yes.
Even with its armor, that's going to do enough to push it over the edge. It was already damaged. So its red blinking light now blinks off and it stops moving. And you're sitting there in a classic lunge pose with the end of your blade up through the bottom of its chin into its little electrical brain.
Yay. What are you doing, Drina?
Is it still on fire?
It's still on fire, yes.
Quickly put that out! Put it out!
I already used the water.
Your gas is starting to circulate through the area a bit more. Seems like somebody had the presence of mind to flip on one of the cooling fans, though, so it's starting to suck out some of the gas.
We're still looking at the fire. Eric, quickly put it out!
Some people will put it out. There are a lot of people that are huddled around Jackson as well.
Doc, you got a patient.
Yes, I will go over and try to treat him as best as I can, considering I don't know how I can treat those internal injuries that well. He won't be fighting in 2 days.
Just give me a medical roll. Meanwhile, Drina, if you're looking around to see... you don't know what... what the inventor of the robot looks like, Mr. Beckett, right. So there are a lot of people near the back entrance that have been knocked out. One of them does have some strange device that's fallen on the floor next to him. It's got a blinking red light that's still blinking.
Right, I'm going to run over to that.
Just so that when
I got a temper.
Ooh, very good. His jaw is broken. Other than that, he might be concussed. Kind of hard to tell while he's still out. But otherwise, you think he's okay. Unfortunately, there's another guy who's had his head punched off that you don't think is going to be okay. As a matter of fact, you're pretty sure he's not going to be okay.
I can't reattach, but make it frank in person.
Yes, I have alchemy. We have a perfectly good robot body right here.
So there is a flash that goes off in the background as apparently a newspaper reporter or a reporter did make his way in here, and there's a beautiful picture of of a man in this fencing pose with one hand behind his back and his forward arm lunged forward with his sword through.
Hey, Bert.
Shit of the robot.
Bert, what's the state of the gas and where is the guy flashing from? Because there is a very good reason I told them to put the damn fire out.
Okay. The fire does go out. It was mostly coming from inside the machine. I mean, it does eventually just spew out, as well as, you know, some people are getting more water to throw in that direction. Your gas is being sucked out.
I'm just wondering if instead of getting a picture he was expecting, he's getting a huge fireball in front of him.
No. Oh, please make it.
So your gas is getting sucked out through the ventilation system. There are several people that got caught in the blast, including who you expect is Mr. Beckett.
My bad, I kind of misinterpreted the situation.
Yes, the flashbulb did not ignite anything further.
Once I get to the docks, I'll be getting some dock hands to help me dismantle the robot. Not into tiny little pieces, but yes, just sort of into four or five large chunks. It's not going to be...
Disarm anything. It, literally.
Exactly. Disarm it, the biggest, eat it.
Okay, let's do some fallout and wrap up here. What are you guys doing back at the gym? I mean, emotions kind of settled down some. You do hear sirens in the background coming in. Trina, you've got this strange blinking box in your hand that's still blinking.
Is there an on-off switch?
No, there is.
Well, I turn it off.
Blinking and flashing, and they're not blinking and flashing in sequence. Why won't they blink and flash in sequence?
Sounds like my first
circuit. Is there some kind of microphone, like a radio in there or anything?
No, it doesn't look like it at all.
Okay.
Okay, I think this is the guy we're looking for. I don't know. I thought he was controlling the other robot, but I kind of misinterpreted the situation.
Yeah, and that's fair enough.
Hey, where's the newspaper reporter?
Yeah, you can find him in the crowd because he's still taking snapshots of the area. You're not wrong, Drina. I mean, just a cursory look at the box. It has a dual purpose. It looks like it did seize control of the robot on the stage, but I mean, basically all it did was turn off the other guy's override box and turn its own functions back on.
Gotcha.
But it does something else too. It sends out a signal to something else, doing much the same thing, turning on or off another component.
Right. Right, so whatever that other thing is, I turn it off.
Does this mean that you now have yourself a fighting robot?
Hey, yes.
Yes.
All right, John, did you want to say something?
I'm going to take the photographer to one side and carefully explain why it is that I would not like the photograph to be used.
Actually, before you do that, I'm going to approach him and spray him in the face. He is going mysteriously lose his camera.
In which case, Aldrich just nods and bows to the doctor and gives a sign of thanks.
Very nice. Very nice. Everybody take chips with us. Hey, everybody.
I now have a camera.
It has some nice photos for your collection in it. So the police do arrive, and it's quickly sorted out. Yet again, Miss Blair is there looking even more tired than she did earlier. She's now sporting two coffee mugs. Kind of drunkenly wanders up to you as she's having a problem walking straight now, apparently. Sits down in a chair and says, "All right, how do I write this one up?"
You still don't really have the slightest idea what happened.
Well, we kind of have a basic idea now. Well, first off, that cameraman took some pictures of the scene. Here's the camera. He may remember a lot of what happened after he wakes up, but we probably don't want those photos public. Apparently, Joe Fighter over there decided it was a good idea to just try to fight a robot. I don't know how he was expecting to win a fight versus a robot using normal boxing moves. This little man over here that's unconscious decided that he wanted to ensure that fight was to the death. He also seems to be behind the death of the other of Tom and Mark.
Mark? Okay, I'm sorry. I've got to go right now. So, I guess I'll have to finish up, wrap up without me. Sorry, buddies.
Not a problem. We'll see you later.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Here's how we're going to end this. They are eventually going to be able to break the guy up and interrogate him and find out the story. Now, do you guys want to hazard what happened and see how close you came? Either way, you're going to get paid for a closed case because they've got the guy in custody and they will get it out of him in questioning.
All right, I say we each take a stab at it and you tell us what really happened. My guess is that Tom had the same foolish idea that Mark was there to witness it. Javen?
Actually, I'm going to say that Beckett was, in fact, trying as well. He didn't mean to kill. He did, in fact, fight with. No, that doesn't. I don't know. I don't. We can. No, none of this makes sense. And I know he fought Matt. He got Matt. Well, he brought in Bradley to fight the robot, but Bradley either got away or didn't fight the robot or something, and then. He had something. Somehow the force enough to put him in the car, but I don't know why he picked on Bradley in particular. No freaking clue. Perhaps they wanted to make all the prize fight be the woman robot fight. That at least to explain why you try and kill everyone. But I'm no clue. Damn you, bitch.
My thoughts are that this was probably a matter of pride that this guy had built the robots and he'd put a lot of effort into it. And then when Winchester shoots him down and then he goes and joins the other place, he's got deep-hearted resentment about it all. And he wants to prove that his robot is superior to any other fighter and gets a little psychotic about the matter. Gets into a fight with Tony, or whatever his name was. Robot fights Tony. Might have been a friendly thing. Tony dies, and then the engineer panics, tries to get rid of his witnesses, but still wants to prove that his robot's better than anyone else, and what better way than taking out one of the potential champions. And at the same time, I'd say that these two bars have been going at each other to try and prove each other better.
Somehow it feels like there's actually two crimes here, and we're trying to merge them into one.
Yes.
And Bert will tell us now if that's the case.
That is, in fact, the case. What you're able to find out from them questioning Mr. P. Beckett and other people as they bring them all in. Here's the deal. Tony Sullivan was indeed beaten to death by two people, the brothers, Jimmy and Timmy. They did actually wear brass knuckles and, the old leather style, gear, which made for the odd impressions. And they worked him over for quite a while, which is why the damage is so extensive. As well as throwing him through the window. And the reason they did this is that, they found out, through is some people being a little looser with their conversation than they should, that Tony and Mick and them were the highlight fight, the pre-fight, was going to be either of the two groups. And the decision hadn't firmly been made. The contracts looked like they were going to be filled out within the next few days to give Tony and Mick that contract. As the boys' earlier life was basically leg breakers for different criminal organizations, they decided to take out Tony.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the part I can't fit into it is Mick. why the hell did they kill Mick, and why the hell did he kill Mick? It would make sense if they killed Mick, but I don't understand why he killed Mick.
What P. Beckett basically fesses up to is that, he is just slightly off his rocker. He's taken this to extremes. He's really thinking that the robot boxing is the way it's going to go with the new laws coming out. He's trying his hardest to discredit traditional fighting by causing as many problems as possible. He found out about the robot fight with Jackson tonight, and that his competitor Conley's robot was going to be part of it. Now, since Conley is so free with showing everyone how his robots work, he knew how to seize control of it and basically to turn its fight circuit back on. Now, his robot couldn't do it because he might be implicated in it, right? So he makes Conley's robot malfunction a bit.
Okay, the only part, the part that doesn't make any sense in that motivation
is that it's going to make it robot look fights. Bad for the robots, right?
Yes.
Yes, he's not quite on his rocker. Now, as far as Mick Bradley went, what the whole point of that was, he's getting paid. If you remember, the inventor left some stuff that he couldn't get back from the other gym, from Mr. Winchester's gym. Well, Mr. Winchester had been in negotiations with Mick to basically pay him to take a dive because he thought, well, not to take a dive, but to break up the possibilities of him and Tony getting contracts so that his boys could get the contract instead. He had no idea that his boys were taking it into their own hands to make sure this didn't happen. Well, while that was going on and Mick accepted the money to do it, P. Beckett did in fact put the thing in the boxer's car to cause an accident. He didn't really intend it to kill Mick, but he did want to make, you know, this whole to sensationalize what's going on with all the boxers. One, to bring money in for the big bout, because, you know, people are gravitate towards anything that's got, you know, death involved around it or any kind of injury. So it actually was making the box office bigger for this thing, which, if you remember at the very beginning, Mr. Stuart Mitchell, the guy who was the commissioner, how blasé he was about everything going on. It's because it was bringing him more money in. People wanted to see blood. They figured something really bad was going to happen with all of these small incidents taking place. And so Mick was going to have a problem beforehand to kind of increase that whole superstition around what was going on. And see, he didn't intend Mick to die, but that was the end result of it. Because once again, if more people were packed in that stadium and saw his glorious robot fighting, and if he could actually pull off getting one of the contenders injured so that maybe that didn't go off and maybe now he could be the highlight of the whole evening. So that was his demented plan. But you had actually three different things going on through this whole, yeah. You know, Stuart Mitchell, the lead commissioner, didn't really have a hand in anything that happened, but he really was kind of hoping it would continue because
does
he was bringing money.
Actually capturing this guy, I don't know how we would have guessed, like, solved any of those crimes.
If you would have actually interrogated or tried to get more out of Jimmy and Timmy, you could have easily found out that they did Tony. But
why would they admit to killing him when they know they would get in trouble? It seems like you would have to get that from a third party.
They would have given it up with enough pressure because they didn't think they would get caught at all. And to be honest, their stats aren't so good. They would have folded if you just would have like really kept pushing at it, especially if you brought up their background, the fact that they'd been leg breakers for different people before. So you could have tidied up that in that way. As far as P. Beckett, there were a couple of ways that you could figure out where he lived. If you actually got to talk to him before the match, you would have figured out he was unhinged and the fact that he would really had some plan going on. There were ways to do it. I don't, to be fair, I don't think that in the 4.5-5 hours that we have, you could have done it all unless you were like incredibly on task and, you know, we're going from point A to B. Yeah.
If I wasn't wasting my time getting a black eye or two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
this.
That's terrible.
But you did well. You did figure out a few things. I mean, you did figure out that there was more, or at least a couple of you did, that there was more than one thing going on all at once here.
Yeah, it's just so freaking complicated that I don't know how we used
it. Yeah, what it really hinged on is having that conversation with Jimmy and Timmy and then automatically being able to say that the Tony side of it was just a dead end. That was its own crime. And it would allow you to focus on some other things a bit more.
That would have cleaned things up.
Yep.
So if I hadn't driven away, would that robot have come
in? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would have came busting in to go after its owner. And basically clear its way out. I didn't expect you to do that. that was pretty good. Once again, you managed to avoid serious combat conflict.
Once again, I've knocked out innocent people.
Yes, yes.
Always.
And it's not often that someone can take out a robot with swashbuckling or fencing.
Yes.
Sorry, this is ridiculous. I get the sword as character ornamentation.
I apologize if that was overly convoluted. I figured, if I give you a little bit more time, you know. But you ended up getting a win for it as far as the guilds are concerned. You did get someone in who would confess to what was going on and did find out what was... Well, I mean, it went in the case that you did find out what was going on, bad in the case that the bout still couldn't happen because now the contender has a broken jaw, and the robots can't even fight because one of them is dismantled, sure. And
it's can sort out the robots.
She'll be more than happy to build both contenders.
So, yeah.
I think the person that hired us to do this is now regretting it, though. Or actually, maybe not. It probably wouldn't have happened either way, but we basically ruined his entire event.
Well, they didn't like him from the word go, so...
I don't even think he'll get an exhibition match because, well, two of his exhibition match people are dead, and the other two are under police arrest now.
And I've got an end scene here. I'm gonna, since Drina's not here, I'm just gonna kind of, say you guys are getting together and discussing this after this is all fallen out in the usual place in the, Drina's garage. I was trying to have this done special. Marcus is online now and I wanted to get his re-intro in, but he can't do it in voice, so I'm just gonna do it. Give me a second.
Oh. Before I pass out, I just want to say a round of applause for the GM and for fellow players, because that was amazing.
Well, I definitely hope you can play again, and if you can hang off for just another minute here, I was going to say how this ends, is while you're all sitting around Drina's garage and talking, her door bursts open with a badly bloodied, torn clothing, obviously that he spent some last few days of very hard living, as Mr. Bishop staggers in. Falls to the floor, clutching an ace with a hole through the middle, and gasps out, "They're coming!"
Mein Gott, man!
Alright, I suppose I should treat him.
And we will end the scene there. Jonathan,
I want to end this. I want to end the scene with me taking him to go treat him and having Abigail there when he wakes up.
Nice.
Well, that would depend on how much time we get for the next game. If it's like seconds later,
yeah. But yeah.
Yes, but I definitely want the fallout to have Abigail treating him as he wakes up.
I think we can manage that.
By treating, do you mean pummeling?
Are you There's conscious? Are you conscious? And then she slaps him when he regains consciousness. Yeah. Okay, guys. Sorry, I went a little harder on you tonight. There were some ways to bust it, but I fully admit that if you had not gone those ways, this was a very difficult nut to crack. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us. Anytime we'd like to play again, just post when you can.
If you- if you're willing to let me play, then I'll be happy to join.
Sounds good. All right, guys. Anything in how finishing?
Much XP?
It was a successful case, so three points all around. And everybody had got an extra refresh chip to add to your pile for next time if you didn't end up spending it.
Just clarify, one XP.
Three experience points.
And each experience point is equal to increasing a skill by one, correct?
Yes, it is, or you can hang on to them and be able to buy more refresh at 10 points per.
I think I've got to do some skill boosting first. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yep. And, you need to have a week of in-game to boost it by one.
Yes. The way the skills work is you can spend the points anytime you want, but your skill actually only improves one skill raised 1 point takes 1 week to learn. Now you can learn as many skills in 1 week as you have a score in discipline. That just shows that you're able to stick to it and learn more than one thing at once.
Okay, well my discipline is average, so that's plus one.
So okay, you would be able to learn two things
dragging
at
on
once.
Too long for you guys, so yeah, we can sort this out some other time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt you guys have got beds to get to.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's only 9 here.
I think I'm the latest one just after midnight, but I'm a third shift person.
A first question. Do I pick the aspect at the start of the fifth session or the end of the fifth session?
The end of the fifth session.
Yeah. So next session.
Yep, end of next session you'll get one refresh and one new aspect.
Woo. I think I'm going to actually waste that refresh and save experience for another one.
Sounds good.
I need a portable gas mask.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay.
We'll see you the next time.
Bye. Take care, you.
Thank you for joining us. Music in this podcast was provided by Kevin MacLeod. More of his music can be found at incompetech.com. Our website, along with many other great games, can be found at obsidianportal.com. On that site, do a search for Steam, Steal, and Murder, and you will find our game notes and wiki. Thanks for listening, and join us again in 2 weeks.
Undersea base to Gutter Skypes. Are you there, Gutter Skypes?
We'll be arriving at the Cornucopia Collective in about how many?
Yeah, exactly.
And my gun crews are ready. Our guns are loaded, pointed, ready for raking, rolling fire, and we're going to try and cut their rigging.
Listen to her.
Ready to go, darling. We're set. The guns are ready. Captain, whenever you want, just give us the word.
Dr. Pierre Depardieu stands up once again and his screams. He screams at the top of his lungs, he shouts.
I wanted a mascot dragon.
Where
would we put it?
Who's going to clean up after it? Who's going to walk it? Who's going to buy it its little chew toys, you know?
Yeah. I see. We should go kick some Nazi ass now.
Indeed.
The Gutter Skypes.